Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast Network.
Bitch.
Print it.
Welcome to episode 118 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassina, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levinson, discuss what comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. It's the end of 2010, so it's time for Comic Timing to review it before 2012 happens and the world ends. And knowing us, we probably put it out in 2013. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinson, and welcome to episode 118 of Comic Timing. We're back here for 2011, even though technically we released an episode already in January, but that episode was recorded in October before Brent was even married, so I don't know if that even really counts. But here's the married Brent Cassina. What's going on, Brent?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Married.
You're here, and you're all H2'd out.
H2'd out, courtesy of Ian Levinstein.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I was going to say Levinstein, but I decided against it.
Yeah, please don't. Please don't. I'll feel like I'm back in third grade all over again.
Bueller. Bueller.
Also joining us this episode, we can actually hear him now that he's on a different mic, Mr. Brandon Christopher, Indigo Fire on the forums. Sup, Brandon?
Aloha.
Oh, you're Hawaiian now?
Yeah, brother.
Are you like disowning Philadelphia now that you actually have a good pitcher on the Phillies now? Is that the way it works? Your team is good, so you're gonna have to go to like Hawaii.
Oh no! I still love my Cliff Lee and my Roy Halladay and my Roy Oswalt and my Hamels.
Oh please rub it in a little bit further. Why don't you?
It just doesn't feel. You almost had Cliff Lee, too, didn't you?
Son of a bitch. Chad Burdett's in my corner, though. Hi, Chad.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on? And you're actually sipping the fruity drink in your picture on Skype, so maybe you're the guy in Hawaii.
No, I just finished up one of my home brews. It was maple porter, which I made. So.
Ooh, nice. I went to a not exactly a home brew event, but a local brew event at this place called Good Beer here in Manhattan on Monday, where the guy who runs Hebrew, the Jewish ale, and Coney Island Lager was signing books, and they had five of the Coney Island Lager and Hebrew ales on tap, and I wound up getting a nice 64-ounce growler filled with some Hebrew.
Well, I think Monday when I'm off, I'm going to brew one of the batches I'll be bringing with me to Super Show.
Oh, nice. Which
it's a black IPA.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking about calling it blackest hop IPA.
Sweet. But it will not turn anybody into zombies, right?
No.
That's debatable.
Yeah. It depends. I mean, if you drink enough of it, I'm sure you'll become a zombie.
Yeah.
Oh, the light hurts. It hurts.
Alcohol. And this episode of Comic Timing is sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service, over at dcbservice.com. This month is a great month for discounts at DCBS, beginning with our DC pick, Flashpoint Kid Flash Lost, starring Bart Allen, number one of three. And this one's going to include a free promo pin, as will every Flashpoint title that is out this month from DCBS. You're going to get a pin with anything you order. Pretty damn cool. Sterling Gates, art by Oliver Gnome. Bart Allen is lost, and where is he in the time stream? We shall find out. $1.49 is the price here, 50% off of the usual $2.99. Ghost Rider, number 0.1 is out this month out of Marvel. This one is written by Rob Williams with art by Matthew Clark, who you might remember from Outsiders, Judd Winnick's Outsiders back in the day. Now he's over at Marvel with Ghost Rider here. This is the beginning to a brand new Ghost Rider series for Marvel. Yet again, 50% off here for $1.49, regular price of $2.99, as is the case with all the .1 issues at Marvel. They're all pricing them at $2.99, which is nice to see. And Kirby Genesis number 1 is the mega discount this month. It's a regular price of $3.99. You're getting it for 99 cents as Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross reteam to tell the story of a bunch of Kirby characters returning to the world of comic books.
Kirby Genesis number 1 for 99 cents is the indie pick this month. Definitely check it out and use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off on your order this month. Your first order with DCBS is an additional 8% off. Go ahead and check that out, plus all the other amazing discounts this month. DCBService.com. You know you're going to find something you like. All right, so this episode, just like last year in 2009, we did it a little bit different as opposed to just giving you guys questions to answer. We gave you sort of like Mad Libs when it comes to questions about the year. And this time we expanded it to 15 questions from the 10 from last year. We wrote a bit of them, and here we go. So we're going to start with question one right off the bat. And that is, if you would have told me in 2009 I'd be reading blank in 2010, I would have called you a liar. And we will start this off with Brandon Christopher. So what are you reading now that you wouldn't have thought back in 2009 you'd be reading?
Let me go back to my crystal ball of 2009 and say, if you told me that I'd be reading in 2010 the JLI, I would have called you a liar.
You're a liar.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I got to say that Generation Lost is like, it's like coming home again, and I love every bit of it.
Is it as good as JLI was?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's got that tongue-in-cheek feel, and it's serious without being too over the top. You know, it's not like in this episode of JLI, you know. It's just madcap fun, and that's really what Justice League International, JL Quarters there, so they all were. You know, they didn't take themselves too seriously, and that's why I really do enjoy JLI.
All right, cool. That works for me. I've been waiting for trade on it because, you know, it's something that's – I mean, it is a 399 book, right? Or at least it was for a while.
Was, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, now it's going to go back down to $2.99 with the 20, with the 20-page count and everything. But I just figured it would make more sense as a complete story. Do you feel it's the type of thing that that's going to read better as a full story than as individual issues, or did I miss the boat?
No, you know, no. I think it. I think it's because the way Winnick's writing it, it does lend itself to both. I mean, I like the fact that I can't wait to read each issue every other week.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet if you just sit down and read it, it's a whole entire chunk. Like, you know, here's issues 1 to 12, and here's issues 12 to 13 to whatever. You know, mm-hmm. It would make a more cohesive read.
Okay,
but I think it's the fact that, you know, it's having Booster Gold, Captain Atom, Fire, Ice, and Blue Beetle, and heck, even Rocket Red serialized again. It's just fun.
Technically fun. A Blue Beetle, not the Blue Beetle when it comes to JLI. Yeah.
And also A Rocket Red, yes.
Yes. Who'd I cut off there?
I was just going to say, I agree. I mean, I think it's, you know, on par with the, you know, regular Brightest Day series, and it's, you know, it's probably the top, one of the first things I read when I get my shipment at the end of the month.
Well, I'm glad then. Well, then that way I will actually pick up the trades. Thank you for actually confirming that I should be doing that, because I was still questioning it. Now I no longer am. Mr. Burdett, your answer to question one, if you please.
I'm going to have to go more Marvel.
Oh, how much Marvel are you reading now? 4 or 5?
No, it's not a lot, but Mike, who is also the Yanni, who lives in the area, we've been earlier in the year, we were trying to start a podcast, and so we were swapping books, and he was giving me Marvel stuff to read, and I read some Iron Man, and he got me hooked on S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm probably going to stick mainly on DC, but, you know, it's... I'm getting a better appreciation, I guess, for the, you know, Marvel universe.
All right, well, that's fine. Do you feel as if you've been missing something? I mean, is this actually filling a part of your reading schedule that you didn't have before, or is this just new and interesting stuff?
It's just new and interesting. I have enough stuff to read already than that I don't need anymore, and I've. You know, I don't need to be spending any more money than I already am.
Gotcha. Okay. So in other words, if they weren't free, you wouldn't be reading them.
Right. If we weren't swapping out comics, then I'd probably not be reading them. But what I have read, that I've enjoyed for you know, what it is, you know, for, you know, the stories and all that. And
well, so. Well, thanks for validating me getting a lot of stuff out of the library.
That's my job tonight, is just to validate you.
Yes. Oh, we're just going to call this the Validate Ian episode of Comic Timing. It's just going to make my reading habits feel a lot happier. Hey, Brent. Hey, Brent, validate me.
That's what she said.
If you would have told me in 2009 I'd be reading even more of Ian's stupid indie books picks, I would have not called you a liar.
Gee, thanks. Is that seriously your answer? Because now I'm just going to go crawl into a ball in the corner.
Yes, because everything I read in 2010, I was still reading in 2009. There's Wait. Nothing that I picked up that I was actually like, I didn't know I wanted to read this.
Really? So you didn't actually pick up any new books at all?
Well, I did. I mean, new series started, the new Avengers, the Avengers Secret War or Secret Avengers, but I knew I was going to get those. I didn't really try anything that I went, kind of on.
All right. That's fine.
So, I don't really have an answer for you.
Well,
like that.
Well, were any of the indie books that you picked up, some things that you're eventually going to pick up and trade?
Maybe Morning Glories. Might okay. check that out.
Which I would co-sign on, because that has actually been good. I've been picking it up in singles since we started it, and I would recommend that. My number one here sort of bucks the trend a little bit, but not entirely, because I was literally this close to dropping it. In fact, I did for two issues, and I brought it back. If you would have told me in 2009 I'd be reading Teen Titans in 2010, I would have called you a liar, because that was a painful year of Teen Titans yeah. books.
I'll go through there. That would be my second choice.
Yeah.
Teen Titans.
Because, literally, I still have about, out of the 12 issues that came out in 2009, I still have about 8 of them left to read eventually, sitting in one of my boxes, and I might even just not read them. I might
Don't
just give them
bother.
Away. Yeah,
but they have Static Shock, though. It makes them good.
That's the reason not to bother.
Oh, snap.
Oh, my childhood just hurts.
Yeah, but okay, but Brandon, was it good? Was it well written, Static?
I have no clue. I avoided that like the plague.
Good for you. Good for you, because the four issues I read in 2009 were like, they were some of the whiniest bullcrap that I've ever experienced. It was like
Aqua Girl, Static, Aqua Girl, Static.
Dude. It was like being stuck in the late 90s all over again, like whiny X-Men all over again. It was pathetic. It really was. This was not the Teen Titans that I got to know and love from Jeff Johns and, hell, even from Sean McKeever.
Yeah, McKeever was damn good, though, actually, I thought.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. Some people rag on his run, but I don't really do that. I think he did a pretty damn good job while he was still around. But then Felicia Henderson, I don't know, she just didn't get the voice down, and I didn't like it. Yeah.
That was a painful.
Yeah.
Well, it was – I think at that time a lot of books were going through that whole sorting process, you know. Mm-hmm. Transitioning from, you know, a really solid writer artist combination to, you know, someone who we were going to test out, put him on a side book,
right?
And I don't want to say that Felicia didn't get it right 100%. I mean, that she went with a lot of the tropes that we had already seen before, you know,
right?
Like, you know, we're gonna make Beast Boy the oldest person on the team, but we're not going to make him the leader. You know, mm-hmm. we're really gonna defer to Cassie. You know, oh, we're without Robin, so we're really directionless. We're directionless. You know, so we're bringing a new character, Static. You know, he's exciting. People love him also. And then, you know, the whole thing with Jaime and Aqua Girl and the love triangle with him and his girlfriend. Also, this is just. I'm like, am I back in high school again? This is just retarded.
You have to go find Raven. She's missing again.
Exactly.
But she was missing last week.
We need a low jack on that
Make
girl.
Her swallow a GPS or something.
Seriously.
God. I mean, you'd think that with that cloak, she could at least hide one in there.
Those Raven-centric issues are the ones that I would absolutely just skip. Once it gets past the Static stuff, that was okay, kind of okay. Once it gets to the Raven stuff, I swear to God, I just skimmed those and looked at the art and said, even that's crap. And honestly, I wasted my money on those issues.
Well, you know, the reason I picked this, though, is because with J.T. Krall back on the – well, not exactly back on Teen Titans, because he only wrote like two issues in Blackest Night. But J.T. Krall is the regular writer of Teen Titans. It's been pretty fun. I've been liking it again.
Yes, it has.
It's as close to Jeff Johns as I've been getting. And it makes me want to pick up the book more and more, which leads me into question two, because
you talk about a two-faced guy. My life has been better since I dropped Green Arrow. Because, ugh, God.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not interested in the character anymore. I mean, after what happened with Cry for Justice, because of
the series quality?
Because of Cry for Justice and because of that first issue of Green Arrow where I read it and it just felt like exactly the same old shit.
It is kind of exactly the same, but it's kind of, I mean, I'm liking it enough to keep reading it.
All right. Well,
it's not my top of the stack, but it's not yet the bottom.
Is Arsenal a character in it at all? Is anybody
else?
Absolutely
not.
Okay.
There's no Arsenal, no Speedy, no Dinah. It's him in the forest and some guy named Galahad, and I think his dad's mistress has come back to haunt him.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very good.
It's building, you know?
I mean, I think it's a slow build. I don't know where they're going to cut the first trade, but that first trade is definitely not going to be strong because of the way he's laying out his story.
Hmm. I mean, okay. We saw what happened with Krull and Blackest Night Titans also. I mean, there are a lot of themes playing from Blackest Night Titans playing into Teen Titans now. It seems like he likes to lay a lot of groundwork before he starts giving those wham-bam issues, you know?
Right.
I don't want to say it's a slow burn, but it's almost like it's like a fine wine. You have to let it settle first, then it'll build flavor.
Right. Well, it's just the thing is with Green Arrow is that he's building on a character that DC kind of made me hate. You know, even if he winds up building something which is great for some people, it's just not a character I want to read anymore.
Understandable.
Because of what he did for Cry for Justice?
Because of what he did in Cry for Justice, because of the way that they, like, literally took the relationship of Dinah and Ollie that they'd been building for 3 years and said, we're done, and just threw it to the side, how they ruined the character of not only Arsenal but Connor over the past couple of years. The entire quote-unquote Green Arrow
they
family.
They ruined the character of Red Arrow, not Arsenal.
Whatever,
well,
dude.
No, I'll disagree with that one. Because Arsenal, even back in the Titans era, Arsenal, I think, was a character who could have been a standalone character. Or I would have read a book with Arsenal back in the day.
Right.
And then you make him into Red Arrow, and you make him even more a prominent figure in the DC universe. You have him embrace that legacy aspect.
Yeah.
And then you just have him we're going to make him a junkie again. Give him the horse back. Smack him up.
And then you cut off his arm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you kill his kid.
That's just discussion for later.
And you have him throw cats.
Against the wall.
Against the wall. Although one of my favorite comic book moments is still Bizarro Arsenal / Red Arrow throwing cats. In the most recent Bizarro arc of Supergirl, they actually drew... Bernard Chang drew a Arsenal throwing cats in there.
Oh, that's poignant.
Yes. But yeah, that's my answer to number two. I'll toss it over to Brent for his answer.
I'm going to say the Hulk line of books.
Hmm.
I spent way too much money in 2010 on World War Hulks, Alpha, Gamma, Incredible Hulk, Hulk itself, She-Hulk, the Red Hulk miniseries, which I thought was stupid because they already had a fucking Hulk miniseries. and then once it turned out to be Thunderbolt brought Ross and nothing really came of that, and Red She-Hulk turned out to be Betty Ross, ooh, big whoop-de-doo, I was kind of let down by that because that's what everyone was saying. I was hoping for something different, and I thought it was bullshit that Jeff Loeb or whoever it was, I know Jeff Loeb wrote it, but they were saying that, you could have gone back in the first six issues and figured it out. Bullshit. You know, it's not like he's really lost his mystery writing touch since Dark Victory or Long Halloween. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but that man has got to go. I'm glad he's in charge of television now. Keep him away from my comic stores.
Amen, man. And I'm not too happy about him being in charge of television either because Heroes is mostly his fault.
But the first
season of Heroes was good, and that's the season he was on.
He was also heavily involved in the next couple, though.
No, it was like the second. And the second one was all right. They had the writer strike going on. But after that, it fell apart. I agree.
All right. Yeah.
But he's also responsible for some of the best episodes of Smallville.
All right, I'll give you that.
He was involved in Smallville. That's when Smallville really kind of took off.
Right. Yeah. Well, and like, did you feel cheated at all that, like, after all the teasing of like, oh, we're gonna reveal Red Hulk? No, we're not. Wait, two more issues. We're gonna reveal it now. Oh, it's not gonna happen. Oh, it's just not about Ross. Go to the bathroom now. It's done.
Exactly. Yes. That, especially after the whole killing Thunderbolt Ross thing and World War Hulk's whatever issue that was. It just felt like there are too many. And the stupid me, I actually bought the World War Hulk's Captain America versus Spider-Man or
God
Spider-Man versus thing, those side issues. I actually bought what was the one that pissed me off the most? The Hulk pool issue. They built it as something else, and it turned out to be all Deadpool issues as a Hulked out Deadpool. And I'm not a Deadpool fan. I don't know why I bought those or read those, and the whole World War Hulk thing just frustrated the hell out of me because I didn't understand whether it was supposed to be a single story, two stories, because really it was one story, but never in Incredible Hulk, or Hulks as it's titled now if you get confused, did that story ever cross lines with what was in Hulk. Like, they were two separate diverging paths, and the only thing that happened was, oh, we're going to show a scene of the heroes shutting down the helicarrier that got blown up in the first issue, the red and yellow one, which wasn't red and yellow at some point. I didn't understand how MODOK afforded all the paint to paint it back to regular colors. But I guess, hey, man, he's got an army of MODOKs. I guess he can do whatever.
It's actually like an image-inducing clapper, so all he had to do was clap twice and it changed colors.
Yeah, whatever. And then Hulk did the whole Hulk conspiracy thing, and I mean, there was some interplay. Red Hulk was in this book and Hulk was in that book at some points in time, but never did it really kind of cross paths. And in the Red Hulk miniseries, I don't even know what – I think that was just to explain Cosmic Hulk, which was a complete mind fuck in its own right because I didn't know who the – it's a robot Hulk from a story way back when, and he absorbs energy, so he's way stronger than the real Hulk. A machine is stronger than the real Hulk. This guy's a real threat. Oh, yeah.
Well, and see, the thing is, people, you talk about from like
A-bomb. They never used A-bomb, but he still, they fucking bothered to put him in Ultimate Alliance 2. That's what I don't understand.
can I just say?
Go ahead.
A-bomb is the worst idea of a character ever. I just got to say right now.
Name ever. After, Dazzler, I guess, kind of. I mean, A-Bomb kind of takes the cake.
Hey, Dazzler was the 70s. You can't mess with the 70s.
No. The worst name ever will always be D-Man.
Oh.
Or what's the one Chris likes? The Hypno Hustler?
Oh, yeah.
How about the 3D Man?
Or Rocket Racer.
Rocket Racer. Oh, jeez.
Hey, 3D Man had some really cool moments in Avengers Initiative.
He did. He really did. But
he sees in 3D.
Yeah, but how many more things can you possibly do to Rick Jones? You know, because, like, he goes from being basically the Hulk sidekick to being Bucky to being Captain Marvel to being another Captain Marvel to being A-Bomb. It's like, why can't he just be Rick Jones?
And married also at the same time too.
Yes, and his wife went off with a woman.
Oh my God, he's the George Costanza of the comic universe.
Oh my God, he is. I didn't know Rick Jones was Jewish until this very moment, and now that I do, it all makes sense.
Make him the gay character of the Marvel universe, kind of like how Archie's got one now. Just make Rick Jones the gay character.
But we already have Johnny Storm. What are you talking about?
Or the Rawhide Kid.
Oh, the Rawhide Kid, but good for you for no longer being the Hulk's bitch, Brent.
No, I'm sorry. And then Chris, whoever's on it now, I saw the art and I just kind of went, eh.
It's Somni. It's Chris Somni.
Somni. I mean, I don't know. I forget who's writing it, but I just kind of
Jeff Parker. I think
off my list. And then after I read about World War Hulks and where that's going, and now Hulk's other son, who I didn't even know existed, is coming to Earth, I was just like, you know what? I'm done.
I want to sit Tom.
Hulk's such prophylactic.
I should have been done after World War Hulk and just cut it there. But after the first six issues when McGinnis jumped off Hulk consistently, I should have just been done there and called it quits.
Yeah.
Because I didn't gain anything from it.
Well,
sorry.
Well, 2011, New Leaf, no Hulks.
No Hulk for me. unless they, you know, keep him around in the Avengers book.
Mr. Burdett, your life has been better since you dropped.
Well, I haven't dropped them yet, but once I find the will to quit adding the one on my DCBS order to Outsiders and
yeah, I dropped Outsiders too.
Like and Doom Patrol.
Oh God,
Chad. I dropped. I didn't even pick up the second issue of Doom Patrol. What are you doing?
I don't know. It's just an automatic response.
Oh, you poor soul.
Just do it. Just do it. You'll be better off for it.
Do it right now while we're on the air. Just
now.
While I got to DCBS, do it right now. Come on. Come on, man. You'll feel so much better.
I'll do Doom Patrol after the Secret Six crossover.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Wait, there's going to be a Secret Six crossover and Doom Patrol?
I was pissed at the Secret Six crossover in Action Comics. What the fuck?
Well, I don't mind that because I'm reading Action Comics.
With Secret Six, and I was like, oh, man, I got to go pick up that book? Crap.
I'm fairly sure they're crossing over with the Doom Patrol.
If they are, that'll be the one appearance of the Secret Six I'm not picking up. You know I mean?
And don't forget also the Secret Six crossover with Birds of Prey also.
Yeah, but that's fine because I read Birds of Prey. And that's another Gail Simone book, so I could care less. You know, I mean, that's...
every time I start reading Doom Patrol, I just have the urge to start bashing my head into, you know, the nearest hardest object.
I mean, don't read it. It's easy.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know my hatred for this book, Chad. I mean, I've talked about it on the show before. I mean, when I read the first issue, I was like, did he just like do word salad? Like, I mean, did he just randomly pick out phrases and throw them onto the page with art behind it?
But I want to like the book. I want to like the Doom Patrol.
You don't have to like it.
Go read your Morrison run again.
They're keeping that book alive.
Yeah, go read your Morrison run again.
I mean that in a good way. It's people like you that are keeping crappy books alive.
I need it out of duty.
Hell, I drop Booster Gold. I did, because I've said it on the show before that it wasn't the Booster Gold that I wanted to read anymore, you know, which sucks because apparently Generation Lost is good, so maybe the regular Booster got better, whatever, I'll pick it up and trade and find out.
That's the only reason why I'm really enjoying Time Masters, because it's the Booster Gold I like.
Right.
Barely. It's a fucking Rip Hunter story more than it is Booster.
Yeah, but
Batman.
Yeah, but Brent, half of Booster Gold during Jurgen's run was Rip Hunter.
I love how the fifth issue on Time Masters, it still bothers to go, the search for Batman, when they haven't talked about him since the first issue.
Yeah, that's the stupidest thing.
Batman, but he's been back for 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of, when I read the Journey Home number 6?
Yeah,
it's like, oh, there they are showing up after he's already back.
It's like, we found him.
Welcome to the party.
Hey, guys, we found him. He's over here. It's like, yeah, we know. He's standing right there. He's been standing here for the last 15 minutes. But we found him. Like, yeah, that's good. Wait, you want us to pay you for this? What?
I like how it's like, we must find Bruce Wayne before he gets back to home on his own accord. I'm like, he's already there already, guys. Don't worry about it.
But, yeah, I'm in the 12-step Doom Patrol and Outsiders dropping program.
And Outsiders?
So it's a two-step. Oh. It's like a three- or four-step. It's log on to your service. First step is go to the website. Second step is log on. The third step is going to the pull list page. And the fourth step is actually clicking the select box that says delete under the delete column. 5 steps. It's a 5-step program. The fifth one is actually going apply changes or save. And once you do those 5 steps, you're better off. You've now saved $6 and you'll spend it on something else.
The more you know.
Imagine that.
Hey, with all the books that I cut,
Chad, what would you do with $6 more a month? You do?
True.
Buy Marvel titles, obviously.
Well, in the Road Home in the Outsiders book, I think Bruce said it best: "Is these guys are fucked up."
Did he seriously say that?
No. I was embellishing.
Oh, okay.
You know, basically, he said, no, they don't fit into my plan at the moment.
Yeah, that's the,
they're so screwed up.
You want to know why? Because Dan DiDio doesn't fit into Bruce Wayne's plan.
He doesn't fit into anybody's plan.
Does he fit into DC's plan?
Well, but now that Dan DiDio is not editor-in-chief anymore, now that he's, you know, head of director and directions or whatever, president, yada, yada, yada.
Co-publisher.
Yeah, co-publisher, and Quesada's not editor-in-chief anymore at Marvel. Maybe the people who are actually editors-in-chief, I mean, yeah, I know that they're technically above them in pay grade, but since they're no longer part of the day-to-day, maybe they could take them both over to the corner and say, yeah, guys, could you do us all a favor and not write anymore? Because you're kind of blowing it here. Not really good. We don't like you.
I had such high hopes for it. Also, too, I'm thinking Dan, he did pretty good on the Metal Men. You know, that Metal Men little Wednesday comic backup wasn't horrible.
Well, you know what that says, Brandon? He can write exactly one page per month.
It means Jose Garcia Lopez can take something from Dan DiDio and turn it into good stuff.
Yeah.
He can take a lump of coal and make it a diamond.
But not Diamond Publishers, because that's worse. Brandon, what did you drop this year that made you happy?
My life is so much better since I dropped JLA.
Ah, a fellow JLA dropper.
Oh,
yeah, I'm actually still on that kick.
I keep thinking it has to get better.
Yeah, I thought that for six issues. It can't get any worse or better. What was the final straw for you when it comes to Justice League?
The Justice League JSA crossover, which was
I don't think that was that bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
The CGS guys liked it. Didn't they like it the first couple issues? I thought they did.
Did you hear the tirade in the last issue?
Yeah, that was the last issue. I'm talking the first couple.
The first couple, it's like they were trying to make themselves like it. You know, that's how it came off to me. It's like, well, you know, I mean, James Robinson has a good track record, so I believe he's going to go somewhere with this. And then the next issue, it's like, well, there were some redeeming factors to this. I mean, it's still a little bit on the low side, but things are a little bit better. And then by the last year's issue, is like, this was the lead up.
Huh. Yeah. Look, I'm happy to have Dick Grayson on the JLA. Finally, after years and years of my petitioning.
Only because he's Batman, not because he's a good person.
I know.
Batman.
I know.
He's like Bat Knight or Nightman.
Like Nightman, really?
Yeah.
Nightman?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
He is the Nightman.
Will he play a saxophone and have telepathy also?
Yes, of course.
Oh, jeez.
And like, I mean, not even Mark Bagley's art could save that.
No, it really couldn't. And it's not Bagley, it's just... It's not good Bagley, it's just Bagley, you know?
Bagley.
Yeah, remember his stuff like just after Maximum Carnage, which wasn't as good as, you know, his other stuff was?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's just, it's serviceable, you know? And then the storyline was just so, I don't want to say bad, it was just mired in confusion. Like, they couldn't pick a direction which way to go, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel you.
You have like a bunch of good ideas, you just put them all together and see what happens, and it just wasn't working for me.
Well, like, when I really, like, the biggest disappointment is that you put a gorilla on the Justice League and it's not good.
Jay Lapes, huh?
Yeah.
Jay Lapes.
Yeah, come on. I mean, it's not like they're all apes, there's just a ape.
He's not really an ape. He's a gorilla.
He's a man. Okay, fine, he's a gorilla. And you know what? Gorilla Man's good too.
True. True.
That's Agents of Atlas, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how about Monsieur Mala also, maybe, a little
Ooh,
on the JLA?
Monsieur Mala.
Or Grodd. You know.
Yeah. Isn't Monsieur Mala still technically dead?
Didn't he get killed on the planet?
Yeah.
I don't know. At least still humping his brain. I don't know.
Yeah, he's humping his brain on the planet, dead. Oh, yeah, that's where he is right now.
Black Lantern.
The planet dead.
The planet dead, yes.
All right, let's move on to question three. Thank you, 2010, for giving me blank, best new title around, period. And thank God I have that extra sentence there, because thank you, 2010, for giving me blank sounds like it should be like a venereal disease ad. So let's let's move it on to Brent here. You should be first on the list for number three.
Gosh. Thank you, 2010, for giving me Secret Avengers, best new title around, period.
Nice.
Ooh, very good.
Yeah, good choice. Good choice. Now, Brubaker's been writing the hell out of that book.
Yeah, it's been excellent. I'm even enjoying the Kung Fu stuff, and I normally don't like Kung Fu. Although I'm kind of confused why Shang-Chi's father is such a badass, or we should be in total fear of him, because I've never heard of them before.
You know who his father technically is?
Bruce Lee.
Fu Manchu.
Ugh.
Yeah. Technically, or like for real?
His original name back in the non-politically correct days was Fu Manchu, although they'll never call him that now.
It's like Egg Fu.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a walking, talking stereotype like every other Asian character in comics at the time.
But, I mean, was Shang-Chi's father like ever in comics before?
He was.
Does he have a name other than Shang-Chi's father?
Fu Manchu. I'm telling you, that's his actual name that they will never call him because they don't want to say
just
Fu Manchu.
Give him a name. I'm tired of hearing them say your father or your dad or your asshole sperm donor, you know. In the fucking book, it's like, dude, give him a name or a code name and just save your word space, you know.
How about yeah. Chu Man Fu?
Chu Man Fu. How about Wang Chung?
Wang Chung.
maybe Ching Tao.
General So.
General So's platter.
Raph Suhu. I had to.
That's not a Middle Asian name. That's not at all.
No. Of course not. And I mean, but going back to the actual title, though, and I'm glad that that the art remains what it is, because it's been consistent from Thunderbolts to Secret Avengers. I mean, not Secret Avengers, Dark Avengers to Secret Avengers. Having the same Diodato art sort of ties all of that together, and it's been one generation to another.
Yes, and I'm kind of – I think they reined his colorist in, Rain Barreto. Reined is in. They reined in Rain because his art doesn't look plasticky anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
because it did on the first two issues of Secret Avengers. It did definitely have that feel, but
I'd say in the last couple of Dark Avengers was the worst. But I think once Secret Avengers started, I think they kind of figured out what they wanted to do.
Maybe that was like the tail end of it or something.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That works for me. That's in probably my top five for 2010. Secret Avengers. It's not my number one there, but it's high up there for me for sure. Let's go, Brandon.
Thank you, 2010, for giving me Batgirl, best new title around, period.
Yeah, technically it premiered in 2009, but I'll give it to you.
Oh, it was cover dated for 2010.
Yeah, though. Right, that's fine.
I mean, honestly, I think I was going to put down for Batgirl, make that my number one for question number one. But, I mean, honestly, though, I mean, it's just fun having a guilt-free Stephanie Brown around again now. You know, not one who's being berated by Bruce or, you know, beat down on her conscience because she made a mistake a long time ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really a time that they actually show that you can forgive and forget. You can move on also. You know, you can be a stronger character just by moving on.
And I just can't wait till she goes to that school and it turns out to be the school from Morning Glories and she gets molested or something and it turns to a guilt-ridden Stephanie Brown book again.
You bite your tongue, man.
I'm a horrible person.
I'm calling it.
Oh God! No, I never want to see a Batgirl Morning Glories crossover. Never.
If that happens, Brent, I swear to God, I'm finding you.
It'll be Brent's fault somehow.
It really will.
So somehow they'll have listened.
It's like the Chris and Peter David all over again.
Brian J. Fuller somehow was listening to us for some strange reason. But
great idea.
Why didn't I think of that? Or maybe he did already. But
issue 23.
No!
Well, just make her part of the 70s JLA or whatever characters are killing off or raping and murdering and just say, oh yeah, she was born during that time, so we're going to have her go through the same thing.
Well, they're not killing the JLI off anymore, so I guess they got to start killing off somebody.
Have her join the Titans.
Oh, don't you dare mention that title in my presence. You're reading that too, Chad, huh? Are you?
Yes.
Are you liking it? Is it a good title?
I'm reading it more for the Brightest Day tie-in with why can't I think of it? Shoot.
Oh, Cyrus. Oh, you can't even think of it. It's that memorable, huh? Titans is that memorable.
Titans is that good, I'm telling you.
Fuckers, right, killed can Ryan Choi.
Bring back Devin Grayson on Titans. Make it good again, I swear.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that, buddy. Well, let's go back to things we like Batgirl. Now, I've said it on the show before. I even mentioned it to you, Brendan, at your Comic-Con. Judd Winnick, not bad.
He's a good guy. I like him.
Yeah, no, he's good. He wrote a good Jason Todd and a good Outsiders and a good Green Lantern for a while. So I'm in his camp.
And a good JLI also.
And a good JLI. Titans? Wait, and Titans? No. No, we don't talk about that. No, we don't talk about that. I'm not going to let you get me angry again. You won't like me when I'm angry again, Brett.
He'll turn into 45 different Hulks.
Yes, I will turn into the blue green Hulk. But I mentioned it to you at New York Comic Con, Brandon. I mentioned it on the show before. Batgirl to me is like, and I mentioned it on Raging Bullets even, that for me, Batgirl is everything I loved about Young Justice.
Agreed. I honestly agreed. And you know, it's just fun having to see a book which is not, I don't want to say light, but you know, it's kind of. Yeah, I guess you could say light. It's kind of airy, also. You know, something that just is fun to read.
It's like, you know, it's not like
so you guys liked scantily clad underage women. Is that why you liked Young Justice?
Have you seen her costume? Really? Have you seen her costume? Scantily, my ass.
Tight. I have a tight work.
Dude, she's more covered than a nun. Come on, really.
Wait, especially when it comes to comics. What was that?
I think my favorite Batgirl moments. When her first time with Damian.
Oh yes.
Oh yes, yes. And then
time with Damian, I bet he schooled her. This is how you take it, woman.
Oh yeah, Brent, I totally missed recording with you.
You will not make this dirty.
And then I also like how she kind of held her own against when Bruce Wayne on the road home. When she reached up and slapped him, that was pretty cool.
That was brilliant. Yeah.
Not in that hole.
Oh my God! When I make the compilation for 5 years of Comic Timing, a lot of this episode is somehow going to wind on it. Up on it, I have a feeling. Well, no. My favorite Batgirl moment is the drawings that she drew in Dustin Nguyen's first issue. The where we are now with Bruce returning and everything. That was great.
I thought that was when she was. Yeah. No. What about the drawings that she did when she was trying to give Wendy, catch her up?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, because Wendy had absolutely no idea what the hell was going on. Yeah, no, that was all good times for me, for sure. Now, my answer for number three, I'm going to mention a couple titles as honorable mentions because I sort of have to. Because I've been mulling this over in my head while we've been talking here as to what my 2010 title is going to be. I'm going to go independent for my title just because nobody has yet. But I have to give honorable mentions to Birds of Prey, first off. Welcome back, Birds of Prey. Very happy to have it back. It's been amazing so far. Gail continues to write a great Barbara and Helena. And everybody's as great as they were when she left the title in the first place, and it's like a new home week, you know, welcome home week for me. And over at Marvel, I would say there really haven't been too many new titles that I've been liking over there, sadly. Except for, I'll put it in there for now, but technically it's a 2011 book, and we'll be talking about it on Review Corner soon enough. Probably Heroes for Hire is the one thing I've really liked so far. That's only been one issue, so I'll talk about that later. But thank you, 2010, for giving me Morning Glories. Best new title around, period. It's a type of thriller that I loved about Lost. As in, you have absolutely no idea what's happening yet, and each issue is like an episode. Like, a new layer gets unraveled, and you learn more about the school, and you learn more about the students, and the mystery. And the art has been, it hasn't been the best art in the world, but it's been enough to carry the story forward. And best of all, it showed me a new writer that I hadn't really seen before, in Nick Spencer. You know, this was the first Nick Spencer that I read, and since then, pretty much everything I've read from Nick Spencer has been great. So, Morning Glories is definitely my title of 2010. Is anybody else out there?
Later.
Whoa,
Brandon. Yeah. That's Brandon.
Yeah,
he's lighting up when he breathes.
Yeah, I am not your father, Brandon.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Is anybody else out there reading Morning Glories, or am I the only one?
Nope.
Wow.
Chirp, chirp.
All right, we'll pick it up and trade then. I'd recommend
it. Yes,
sir. Yeah, it's been hella good so far. I would definitely say that. All right, we move on to question number four.
Hold on, I didn't get to answer it.
Oh, you didn't? I'm sorry, Chad. It is your turn, because I am a forgetful fucker.
You know, it's still too early in the run for me, but I'll have to see how Freedom Fighters turns out.
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to go for me, it was iZombie number one.
Nice.
You know, it's just, you know, something different, and you know, enjoy the Mike Allred art, and it's just, I like the different take on the zombie genre.
Okay, explain it to me a little bit, because I haven't read it, so I have absolutely no clue.
basically, I forget her name, but she, in order to be more human, she has to eat a brain once a month, and when she eats the brain, she gets like the feeling and the memories of a dead person, and she kind of is going on, you know, journeys from there.
Holy crap, she's Zombie Chew.
And eat your brain.
And there's vampires, and there's these vampire hunters, and it's just a fun book.
All right, cool. That works for me. How many issues in is it?
8 just shipped in December, so.
Okay. And that's an ongoing? It's not unlimited?
Yep.
Okay.
Ongoing.
Cool. All right. Well, that'll be another thing to put on the I will read it from the library if the library carries it trade pile that I'm very, 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 very quickly gathering. All right. Now we can move on to number 4. Blank got canceled in 2010, and the last part of it is annoying, and I shouldn't have wrote it in the first place, so I'm just going to skip that part. So Blank got canceled in 2010, and it sucked. We will start with Brandon here.
Pass. I'll come back to it. Come back to me.
All right. I will come back to you in 2012. Moving over to Brent then. Blank got canceled in 2010, and it sucked.
No, I don't think I have an answer for that one.
Really?
Because I wasn't reading anything that got canceled.
Oh, my God.
for me, I think if something got canceled, I didn't miss it.
No. All right. Well, I fine. Then I'm gonna go with my answer then.
Well, Ian, what'd you pick?
Why? Thank you for asking, Brent and Brandon. Atlas got canceled in 2010, and it sucked because it keeps getting canceled.
I can trump that.
Bummer, dude.
Okay.
Sad Patrol.
Well, let me explain why it was fun first. Not just because there was a gorilla in it, but because so it was
technically JLA should be fun then too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Technically. I said technically for a reason because technically things should be funny when there's a gorilla in it, but that's not always true. Gorillas are good times, but so are men from Venus and also sirens that act like Venus, and just in general, it's a fun, exciting book that really draws on the past of the Marvel Universe, and not many titles actually do these days, because this is the like forever past of the Marvel Universe that most people forget before it was even Marvel.
Wasn't their mission to take down Norman Osborn?
Their mission was to take down Norman Osborn, and that
glad they did that so well.
Yeah, they were doing a pretty good job of it. No, but they
did they even show up to the siege battle at all?
They were in the background of the siege battle.
Paying attention, guys. Yeah. No, they weren't.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. I saw them. I waved at them.
They weren't in the 2-page spread by Olivier Coipel.
Yeah, they were.
Nick Fury didn't call them.
They were on the ground.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, they were. They were on the ground. You just couldn't see them.
I called bullshit.
Yeah, they were all the way in the background. Like they were like little. All right, they weren't there.
Yeah, they're the dead bodies.
I hate you. Well, like after siege happened, their mission changed again and everything, and they tried to, not exactly. Well, yeah, I guess really they went back to their original mission of using the resources of the Atlas Foundation to try and better the world as opposed to what Atlas was originally formed for, which was to make it worse. And they only got about 6 issues into it before it got canceled. This time. It might have even been less than that, actually. It might have only been like 4 or 5. But, oh well, maybe someday there'll be more Atlas. But for now, Jeff Parker's got better things to do. Chad, you've got something to outdo me?
Yes, and I'm... this book was canceled, and then this character was killed. And if I hadn't been at work, and it probably would have caused too much of a scene, I would have cheered and danced. But I am so glad the Magog is gone.
Oh, snap.
Wait, they killed him?
Yeah, they did. That's right.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, spoilers.
Oh, my God, I love it.
I mean, they should have, after he got kicked out of the JSA, he should have been done.
Yes, he should have been.
Yeah, well, not just the JSA, but the JSA All-Stars. I mean, come on, really.
Yeah, it's like, okay, let's just get rid of him. And
well, the DC universe has a habit of hanging on to people a lot longer than they should.
He made like little background appearances here and there, like, you know, something seriously going on. Here comes Magog. Oh snap, you know?
And then they had the Magog issue, and I think it was like a JSA special where it's like the same story like for like half of the JSA special, and then, you know, then they, you know, fought, and he's like, oh, screw you guys, I never want to talk to you again, I'm gonna go do something.
It's like, you're not proactive enough, roar, I'm gonna go do my own thing and team up with those characters from like the Shield that nobody cares about, because
I enjoyed the Shield.
I enjoyed it too. It's just that they never caught on, and that's sad.
That's okay. That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
But the books I was sad that were canceled were the Johnny DC titles, like Billy Batson and the Magic of Shazam.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that one.
Well, my main problem with the Johnny DC titles in general is that DC sort of treats them a lot like Disney Channel treats their shows, where like they have like almost like a set amount of time that they're allowed to run before they're quote-unquote no longer relevant in the eyes of children, and they have to replace them with something new.
And you mean they don't have Hannah Montana like doing the bong hits?
No, apparently not. And I must say I'm very, very happy to see Magic of Shazam not taking any bong hits.
I was also kind of disappointed to, I mean, I have all the issues, but I've only about halfway through it, but Air and Madame Xanadu, I was kind of enjoying those stories.
Yeah, Chris has all of Air and read it, and she liked it, but I haven't had a chance to read it. I'll probably actually read her copies or just take them out from the library. But did I read the first two issues or just the one? I read one issue of Air and liked it, but that's as far as I wound up getting. Eventually I'll read more. All right, I guess we're just going on to question five, since nobody else has answers for four.
Hold on, let me amend my four then.
Okay? Ooh, Brandon's going to amend his four. Go ahead.
Since I actually did, the Shield got canceled in 2010, and I would have joined the Facebook campaign to save it.
Oh, okay.
That's I did sad. Drop those.
Yeah. Eric Wallace, really good guy, too.
I just couldn't get into it.
I can see it, but the Shield was the only one which actually kind of made sense, you know? I actually would have had a cohesive story. The other ones just, because they went back and forth, you know, like one issue was the Fox, one issue was the other one. I'm like, it's kind of, it was hard to keep track of.
Well, and it's hard to craft new characters sometimes, you know, especially when they have a history.
Yeah.
You know, and they're trying to bring them into a new universe. I mean, which is what I've said before, that I think these whole former Archie characters or whatever probably would have done better if they were just in their own separate Earth, as opposed to trying to fit them into DC.
Yeah, well, there's always hope.
Yeah. You mean the X-Men's hope?
No. No Jean Grey, please.
Okay. Oh, well.
Back right. Living through science.
Onward to question five. Did the team of blank knock it out of the park in 2010, or did the team of blank knock it out of the park in 2010? Am I right? Am I right? We will start with Chad this time.
I'd have to say Jeff Johns and the team on Green Lantern.
So Mr. Monkey?
They continue to, be at the top of my list to read.
I was going to say that's a respectable one, but I don't know that I would say knocking it out of the park. I don't think that... The story after Blackest Night has really gone anywhere. I'm kind of disappointed that we spent, 9 months or whatever it is, building up to, the War of the Green Lanterns, but nothing really happened.
We're waiting for the shot heard around the world, I think, or around the galaxy.
Yeah, but
we could have had two different story arcs by now.
They just revealed who the guy who the is collecting the entities, so.
Yeah, it's just that it took a year. Yeah.
Took a year to do that, and he didn't have anything else in between then.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like we had any other Brightest Day stuff to really, you know, keep us going, except for, ooh, the search for the entities. You're blue. That's great. You're in a child now. Okay. Oh, you're red. Roar, you're angry. Oh, no, let's run away. You know,
oh, like, no, Parallax has gotten to the flesh.
Yeah, and Parallax really needs, like, floss.
Should be the spokesperson for Oral-B.
Oral-B. I'm just going to call him Paraflex.
Paraflex?
Yeah.
How about Parafloss?
Ooh, that's better. Mm-hmm. I like Paraflex better.
Paraflash.
Well, so what makes them the team for you then, Chad, if you agree that it's sort of been like a leaders thing going on?
I don't know. I just... For me, yeah, Jeff Johns has just been, you know, consistent and keeping, you know, at least keeps me reading the Green Arrow and Brightest Day books, you know, first thing when I get my order in.
All right. Yeah. Good enough. I'll let it slide.
Okay.
For me, I will go second here. The team that has been knocking it out of the park for me... And honorable mention, by the way, because I don't know if I'll get to it any other time, but the team of John Layman and Rob Gilroy on or Gilroy, however you pronounce it, on Chew, have been amazing this year. But they just missed being my pick. Did the team of Bendis and Immonen knock it out of the park in 2010, or did the team of Bendis and Immonen knock it out of the park in 2010? New Avengers has been my favorite Avengers book. No question. Both the team dynamic and the art have been superb since the relaunch, and I think it's really because Bendis and Immonen play off of each other very well. I mean, Immonen has worked with Bendis before, both on Ultimate Spider-Man and on the Avengers, and which is why I think it works so well being on this, you know, restart of the New Avengers, is because he knew the team and he knew the creator, which is great. And adding the Thing to the team. was a great bit of dynamic there. I just
disappointed they're putting him on Fear Itself because it's going to take him off that book.
I don't know if it will, though. I don't know, because what is Fear Itself? We don't know yet.
It's a miniseries, 7 issues.
Yes, but
it's a big clusterfuck money grab like Civil War, because it said it's going to be as big as Civil War. It's going to have as many tie-ins as Civil War. They're even doing a Fear Itself on the ground home front, like front line. I saw that today and I went, oh, Jesus Christ, no.
By Matt Action Fraction.
I don't know who it's by.
Well, it's just I don't know yet whether this is going to be people taking themselves off of other teams to be in this book, though.
I'm not talking about The Thing. I'm talking about Eminent.
Oh, Eminent. Oh, okay. I thought you meant The Thing, because The Thing was in the previews for Fear Itself, too. And yeah, they are taking him off of New Avengers for that, which does
kind of suck. Thing is on everybody's team. Everybody's got a thing. Oh, it just depends on what you call it.
That's true. Some people call it Ben Grimm. Other things call it Man-Thing. Which is also on a team. He's on Thunderbolts, and he's doing pretty good.
Raph calls it Little Thing.
Oh, oi.
He's a cowboy. Thanks for love. He's a smoker. He's a joker. He's a midnight toker.
We're just going to have to stop this now.
Because the monkey.
We're going down a road that I don't think we're ever going to return.
Steve Petty's always a good road to go down.
Oh, God. But yeah, Ms. Marvel and Spider-Man and Wolverine and Doctor Strange and the artist formerly known as Brother Voodoo, now known as Dead, have all been fun this year. And I can thank Bendis for that and Eminence. So they were my team of 2010. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Brandon Christopher, what about you?
All right, I have two here, actually, because I couldn't decide.
And
that's
my cheating.
First one, I know. Just call me Jim Seglin.
All right.
My first one is going to be Paul Cornell et al. For Action Comics.
I co-sign on that.
Oh, Action Comics.
I changed my answer.
Action Comics has been just an amazingly fun read. And it's like, you know, I figured I was going to stop reading it after, The War of the Superman, and thinking, you know, this could be, it was a fun little ride.
I still haven't read my issues from that.
Oh, okay, yeah. But, I mean, I figured, yes, Superman, it happened, it was big, it was awesome, and then it just kind of, at the end.
And, really, is that what it did? It did,
yes, it really did, actually.
I like how that's now a verb.
Yeah, it was this little, definition of the,
I'm going to make that the new slogan of Comic Timing. You're listening to Comic Timing.
But anyway.
Anyway.
I mean, plus also the backup, which is unfortunately isn't written by Cornell, but the Jimmy Olsen backup is fantastic.
Written by who?
It's not written by Cornell. It's
Nick Spencer.
Nick Spencer, yes.
Yeah, Nick Spencer, my new find of 2010.
Yes. My second one would have to be Gail Simone and Ed Bennis on Birds of Prey.
Yes.
That was homecoming again, you know. It's just, I love the whole fact that, you know, she is one of the few people who can actually rein in Ed Bennis and not make him so cheesecakey. Mm-hmm. It's good artwork to look at, but it's not just, you know, like Greg Landing his whole entire career away.
Yeah. All 3 issues that he drew.
And that was so sad, too.
I've come to expect it.
So have I. I mean, come on, it's Ed Bennis. He should be able to, you know, do more than 3 issues and, you know, not get lost in his own work.
Yeah. I fully expected somebody to pick, for some reason, just for the shits and giggles for this question, by the way. Did the team of Tony Daniel and Tony Daniel knock it out of the park in 2010?
It's been pretty good. I'm sorry. He's, you know, he's getting up there. He's improving.
He is improving. He is.
I really like the Black Mask story, and I'm digging what he's doing now.
Yeah.
So you can't fault him.
No, I agree. It's just it would have been funny. but no, I co-sign on the on both your picks, Brennan, definitely. However, I still prefer Gail Simone's writing to Ed Bennis's art.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because of the cheesecake that you mentioned. That and, I don't know, his figures have always been a little bit too bulky for me when it comes to women.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't say they're bulky. I would say they're more well-rounded.
Buxom.
You know, buxom is a good
word. Them all as Latin women, and the colors just fucks it up.
See?
Yes. But, I mean, like, other than that, I mean, I think he's gotten better with his line work of women, especially from from the JLA. You know, those first 10 issues of JLA were all right. You know, it was you know, Black Canary was like extra curvy, and she had more curves than a car. What? And then you look at it now, and you look at those first three issues. You know, he actually drew Dove differently than he drew Huntress or Zenda. You know,
right? Which is not something you see very often from him.
I know, and so I'm glad that he could actually mix up the comedy with the action also, which is what Simone's known for. You know, if you really can't differentiate between the light moments and the heavy action moments, it's not going to make a good read. It's just going to make it mucky, and it's going to make it difficult to understand what's going on.
I'm glad he didn't draw a Hawk that curvy either.
Thank God. That would have been interesting. And also, one more thing. He actually drew a guy and didn't make him look retarded for the first time ever also. I was going back. I was reading those old Birds of Prey issues from the 70s run, the Harvest run, and then Barbara Gordon, having the disease, the Brannick disease. And when he drew Batman, he looked so retarded. Squash head, almost like the Eraser Batman.
Eraser Batman.
Bat Eraser, that's what it looks like.
Well, he always carries a bat eraser, just in case he needs to bat erase his bat pencil.
Man eraser, no chase.
Stop it.
Brent, you haven't gone yet for this.
Did the team of Grant Morrison and Grant Morrison knock it out of the park? Or did the team of Grant Morrison and Grant Morrison and whoever worked with him knock it out of the park in 2010? Come on.
I will accept that as an answer.
Anything Batman and Robin knocked it out of the park for me. Whoever was on the book, whether it be Frazier Irving, Andy Clark, who do we have before then?
Wasn't it Bernard Chang or something?
It was Bernard Chang. Then before that was Quietly.
No, not Bernard Chang. The Batwoman issues. Cameron something.
Cameron Stewart. Yeah.
And then we had Frazier. Andy Clark, whom I'm loving now. I've always loved him, but I loved him on Batman. Finally.
Daniel Acuna.
Not Acuna. Frazier Irving.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Same thing. They just knocked it out of the park for me in 2010. And then the couple issues that we got of Batman Inc., those two issues with Yannick Paquette. Oh my gosh. Fantastic.
Beautiful. Issue 2 was even better than issue 1.
Yes, it was. Issue 2 was a piece of heaven.
Wrapped up in octopus.
Wrapped up in octopus and Batman.
Octopushy.
And because it was Batman, made it help me pick him so much, too.
Yeah. I agree. No, Morrison works very well with artists.
There,
And at the end, he's wrestling a giant ape.
That's the issue. That's the preview.
Yeah, the preview. Still.
Yeah, it's still there. Yeah. Apes make things better. It's true.
It's funny. Except it's comical.
JLA. Your theory does not apply to JLA.
Fine. Parentheses, except for JLA. End parentheses.
And Atlas also.
Any ape by James Robinson.
We shall see. Everybody go this time? Did I forget anybody?
I didn't go.
You did.
I know.
Yeah. All right, moving on to number 6. Some of the prettiest pages in 2010 came from Blank's Pencils. And the blank will be filled in by Mr. Chad Burdett.
That's a hard one for me because even looking at my list, it's kind of hard to remember what exactly was in each book. You had issues 7 and 8 of Blackest Night that came out, and those were, I just like looking over those, after I read it a few times. Mm-hmm. But, other than that, nothing really stuck out to me.
So are you copping out?
Yes, I'm copping out.
So sad. I don't know if I accept that. Pick somebody.
Come back to me.
I'll do that.
How about Francis Manipal?
That is a good answer.
That's okay. A very good answer. That's a very good answer.
Yes. Yes. I mean, part of the reason that I was able to accept a Barry Allen book was because Francis Manapul was on the pencils.
That's the only reason I stand at a 3-month wait for freaking Flash. That's the only reason why.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And his pencils have evolved so much. I mean, like, when you look at, when you compare it to the work he did on Legion of Superheroes with Jim Shooter, I mean, it was good, but it wasn't this level. I mean, the art style that he's chosen to use for Flash has just been superb. Love it.
Yeah, I like it because it's a little bit blurry, and I guess it makes sense because the whole town's moving at the speed of light, and it just flows so well. And the colors also are just amazing in the book.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's drool-tastic.
Yeehaw. Well, I've got one pick, and it comes from one of my only Vertigo books that I'm currently picking up other than Fables.
Madame Tadu?
No.
Oh.
Mr. Peter Gross and Unwritten.
Hmm.
Unwritten, there's one specific issue that makes it for me here, and that was the Choose Your Own Adventure issue. Okay, because this guy technically drew triple the amount of pages because they were all facing the horizontal way as opposed to the vertical way so that they could put more pages into the book. And there were three choices usually for every page as to which way you would turn to get the origin of Lizzie Hexham, one of the main characters. And depending on which way you chose, you'd get a different portion or a possibility for her origin. And
that sounds like an awesome idea.
It was great. And Peter Gross nailed it on that. And he's done it with every other thing on the book. I mean, for the times when they wind up inside of like storybook pages, everything's all nice and washed out, and then it slowly fades back into the same color palette as the rest of the characters. And the backgrounds that he draws are not heavily detailed, but just detailed enough to get you the feeling of where they are, because a lot of it takes place in the UK, and when they change back to the US, it actually feels like a different place, which is something that that some artists actually don't manage to really nail as much as they should a lot of the time. And that's the feeling that I get reading Unwritten. I get entirely engrossed in the book because of the pencils that follow it. Anybody that is not reading that book, Brandon, you're not reading it, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Start with volume one, you will get hooked.
Unwritten?
I guarantee you, this will be right up your alley. I mean, if you like Fables, if you like kind of anything Vertigo, it's a very Vertigo book. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a lot more fantasy than a lot of the other Vertigo titles that have been coming out lately, except for Madame Xanadu, of course.
Yeah.
But this is
rest in peace.
Right. But this is a book that I would be thrilled if this title continued for years.
That's the one thing I really do like about a lot of Vertigo books. They are a little more detailed in their background art and also the panel layouts as well. Mm-hmm. And actually, even sometimes the borders around the panel themselves. I mean, you take example take Fable for example. You know, mm-hmm. There's so much detail in just the panels alone. You know, or in the background of the page also. You know, it's not just a white background or a black background with panels are related to it. It's actually just this amazingly detailed, almost Baroque style artwork up and down the border, and it's just amazing to look at.
Oh, sure, yeah, and the issues that don't have this, you know, Buckingham on art, you can tell.
Yeah, it's
because his borders aren't there.
It's not. I don't say it suffers because the story is always good, but I mean, it just lacks that uniqueness to the book.
Right.
Something that, you know, actually does make it feel like a storybook almost. You know, remember how you always imagine storybooks, especially on the covers, with that little piping around the edges or that detailed bordering, you know?
Actually, there's only one artist where it suffers. I love Mike Allred, but you are not a Fables artist.
Mm, yeah.
The few
no,
issues...
I liked him on Fables.
Really? You did?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's just so different from Buckingham. liking him, but it's not bad.
I don't know. There's just something about the style that just didn't really flow with me. But, you know, I mean, if you liked it, that's great. It just didn't really work very well for me when it was on there. So, agree to disagree. We're allowed. Number six shall be answered now by Mr. Cassina.
Pencils. I'll have to go with the teams on Brightest Day. Because they're all fantastic artists. And not one issue has been lacking in the art department.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whether it be Ivan Rice, Patrick Gleason, whatever you want to call his name.
It's Mark Bakley.
The guy doing Scott Clark on Firestorm, I think, has been doing some really strong, almost Finchy stuff.
Yeah,
you know, with his faces. Mm-hmm. And Adrian Sayef on the Hawkman stuff has been really good too.
Speaking of Finch, the covers have been great.
Yeah,
yeah. Especially
although I kind of like the non-painted covers better than the painted ones.
Yeah, really. Because I was going to say I really like the whatever happened to the Martian from Mars.
Well, I like that one. I just liked them better when they were inked.
Okay.
More traditional, I guess, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
That's fine. Also, and one thing that I've been noticing on Brightest Day that was pointed out to me is that there seem to be less and less artists working on each issue now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like it's only about one or two. When it started out, it was about three or four. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a conscious decision or if this is just, you know, other artists going to work on other things, but it's added to the cohesiveness of Brightest Day a lot to only have about two different artists switch back and forth with.
Well, I think also, I remember, I think it was during 52 or during Countdown also, where they had separate artists work on a separate section. I think right now, because it's narrowing its focus on maybe only one or two characters per issue, instead of being against all 12, against all, I think it was 13 who came back, mm-hmm. it really has a chance to tell the story, and you know, you won't get lost in the artwork. It won't be such a jarring difference between Yvonne Hayes or whoever the next artist would be.
Yeah, that works. And who hasn't gone yet? I believe Mr. Brandon.
Oh, for me, I'm going to say R.B. Silva on the backups of Jimmy Olsen.
Okay.
Because I yesterday and today I sat down and I read all my Action Comics, and I purposely flipped to the last 12 pages and just read all the backups, and I just wanted to get the whole story fresh in my mind again before the new Olsen book starts in a couple months, and I like how he draws Jimmy Olsen. Mm-hmm. You know, He's not the same Jimmy Olsen that we've seen before. You know, he's almost a fresh take on him. You know,
uh-huh.
Especially with the revamping of the clothing. You know, and actually, an actual reason why he wears the bow tie. You know, actually, it makes sense. And actually, I love the fact that he can actually take a character from a television show. You know, and revamp her to an actual comic book and actually keep the same qualities of the character and actually make it feel cohesive between the TV series and now also with the actual book.
Right. Well, I like the story choices that they've made for Chloe and the art in general, because like she doesn't look exactly like her Smallville counterpart, but she looks modern.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Plus, I also like the coloring as well too.
Oh no, definitely. Yeah, no, it adds a lot to the story, and everything's so kinetic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's I think that's why they're really trying to get a point across that Olsen's always moving. You know, like they said. I think within the first, I think the whole title stands explains the whole. In fact, that Olsen's life is so hectic or so chaotic that, you know, he does more in one week than he would do in a whole entire year for one person.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that sometimes the story will jump also back and forth through time, like it'll say, oh, this happened like, you know, last month and this happening now, and it really does serve the artwork really well.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Now, since you just mentioned Action Comics, I'll make my answer for the next one here, because I liked a lot of covers this in 2010. the cover to Chew, I believe number 25, was pretty damn epic. And that would be my pick, but I was reading it already. It didn't get me to pick up the book. So that's specifically what I said with this question here is the cover to Blank got me to buy the book. And that's what I'm saying here, and this is what I'm going with. I was on the fence about Action Comics before it came out. When I saw that cover with the Orange Lantern Lex Luthor, I knew I had to pick it up. So, for me, it's Action Comics 890. And that was one of the first David Finch-drawn covers in DC. Specifically for Action Comics that he drew. And it drew me in to the story. I wanted to know what the hell it was about. I mean, yeah, sure, on the inside, he wasn't wearing that really much at all. But at least on the cover, he was, and that
naked
worked.
Lex.
Yes, yes. Okay, so now that I did my cover, let's go with first Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, Brandon.
Oh, crap. All right. Well, I read the question wrong. I read the statement wrong. My bad.
That's fine. Well, if you just like the cover, you could say that.
Okay, fine. Secret Six number 20.
Okay.
Cat Synchronal Part 2. That was, I think, that cover showed a lot. Not only to the story, but to the complete and utter emotional growth that Catman has shown since in that book, since Villains United.
True.
We've always seen Catman as almost like a good guy type of person. And now we can see how far he actually fell from grace, and I think that's just utterly delicious.
Catman is like the Stone Cold Steve Austin of the DC Universe. Technically he's a bad guy, but you like him.
Yeah. Well,
less beer shopping.
I was going to say he's hasn't gone back to his Brad Metzler physique.
Oh God.
Oh, give me some donuts.
That was when he changed his name from Catman to Donut Man.
Is it good to store me?
Chad, you're up.
I'm going to go. It's independent, and since I don't read a lot of independent stuff, then this is just one that caught my eye and interest. I read it, and I found it pretty interesting. It was Time Lincoln?
Oh my God.
It's a picture of Lincoln on the his face on the cover, and he's wearing a pair of these like futuristic goggles. So, it was just a fun story. So,
is it about a time traveling Lincoln?
Yes, he's pulled out of time like seconds before he's shot.
Oh my God,
Mr. President, you must come with us now. Why? To save the world.
Basically, it's like that. I think it's like Isaac Newton and Ben Franklin are, also time travelers.
Oh, so he's a time lord.
Wow, no way. Wow.
Prove it, Rufus.
Does he ride around in a phone booth?
No.
Aw. Speaking of Lincoln and weird things, now that I'm finally reading Invincible, I read the origin of Immortal and how he's like, I don't even remember all the things I've been over the years, and like you see a flash of like a bunch of different things, and one of them is Lincoln.
How'd that one work out for you, huh?
Well, there's a reason he's called Immortal.
the Time Lincoln issue, the one shot I just ordered back in November was Apocalypse Mao.
Holy crap, I'm gonna have to read this at some point. This sounds like hella fun.
And I think one that they also solicited but never put out or hasn't come out is Fists of the Fuhrer.
This reminds me of like a book called Helen Killer. So this reminds me of it.
Oh, Helen Killer.
I enjoyed that book though.
Right. And Helen Keller enjoyed it too, right, Helen Keller?
boom, 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 boom. She's shooting the wall again.
Shoot the wall, shoot the wall. Ow, that was my foot.
Shoot the wall.
I let me just say I'm sorry to everybody who's listening to it right now. I'm very, very sorry, but we haven't all recorded together in a while, and obviously we missed each other or something because we just can't turn ourselves off tonight.
That's what she said.
Woo! Brent, what's your cover?
I'm going to have to go with you with Action Comics.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. We agree on something.
Hey, about that.
All right. Moving on. nice and easy. It took me until 2010 to start reading Blank and Trade. What is wrong with me?
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Brent, what is wrong with you?
I read the Walking Dead compendium in 2010, and I didn't know why I waited so long.
Was it awesome?
It was awesome, but I'm just torn now as to whether I want to actually go and get the 6 trades after that they're out, or wait till the next compendium.
That's exactly where Chris and I are right now, because like we have 3 volumes of Ultimate Invincible, and we're like, once we're done collecting 4 and 5, do we go to trades, or do we wait till 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 come out? And I think we're probably just going to stick with the Ultimates because they're pretty.
Yeah, reinforce your shelf also though.
Oh yeah. God. But hey, that's my answer, since I was talking about it.
Really?
Walking Dead was really good. I picked it up after I saw the series premiere of the TV show.
Cool.
And just after I heard that they had gone a different way, basically, I've read the first trade before, mm-hmm. and once Shane didn't die, spoilers, in the TV series, I was like, well, I kind of want to read the book now, since... They seem to be going in a different direction, so
yeah.
I have
volumes 1 and 2 of Walking Dead still sitting here. Still haven't finished volume 1. After the first time I try to read it, I'm going to try it again. It was from the beginning because it's been like 2 years now, and
dear Lord.
I'm going to give it a shot. No, I couldn't get past it. For
really?
Some reason, it wasn't clicking with me.
Did you enjoy the television series?
I love the television series. I adore it.
There is Kirkman you are not reading. Why? Why? Why?
Well, look. I finally read Invincible, okay, which is my number 6. My number 8 answer here. And by the way, runner up would be Irredeemable, because Irredeemable is amazing. And I started picking it up actually after the interview we had with Mark Waid, because it sounded interesting. And that and Chris read it while she was over at a friend's house in Boston, and it was sitting there on the shelf. And she read a couple of trades of it, and we've since been collecting it. And I've been loving the series. But Invincible gets the nod for me, man, because I don't know why I was putting off reading this. It might have been because I was waiting for like tons of it to be in trade so I could just read it all in like super fast fashion. But I got through the first 4 trades of Invincible in like a week. And then we picked up the Ultimate Editions, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. I have about 2 issues left in Volume 3. And they're all the ancillary stuff. Like, I've read all the actual issues of Invincible that are in it, because they included...
No, it's like the Adam Eve miniseries and
stuff. No, it's not in that yet. These are, like, issues of the pack, I think.
Oh.
That have Invincible and an Omni-Man story in it. And, God, it's good. I mean, like, even the art change, like when they changed from the original artist of Invincible to the second artist, I like the second artist better.
Yeah, Ryan Otley kicks so much more ass than Corey Walker.
I agree. Yeah.
And as much as I love Tony Moore, I'm kind of pissed that everybody looks at Tony Moore as the Walking Dead guy when Charlie Adlard is definitely the Walking Dead guy.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the complaints. After reading 48 issues of it, I don't understand the complaints of Charlie Adlard's characters look the same. I don't understand it, because they really don't. If you recognize it, if you're reading it all in one chunk, you definitely know. But I can understand the way that book is written. since it's one complete long story and, you know, there are no superhero emblems on their chest, that if you didn't remember that this character got a scar, you know, and they show her later in the, you know, later on in the issues, you won't remember that. If you don't remember that fact, then you don't recognize the characters until they say the name.
Right.
But definitely, I mean, with Walking Dead, the first issue, the first trade I read, and I thought that was okay, and then I got the compendium, read that, threw that again just so as a refresher, got to the second one, started enjoying it. Once the third and the fourth one hit, the third and fourth trade, that's when it really starts to pick up. And, I mean, the compendium goes through, like, the first 8 trades or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Damn.
It's, like, 48 issues in one big, thick volume.
Oh, sweet.
And the only chapter breaks are from trade to trade. So you read 6 issues and you don't even know it. You will literally, once you get to like the third trade, you will literally blow through that stuff like clockwork.
All right.
And because it's such a serialized story, like, you know, it's, I think you'll enjoy it. You just have to power through the first one. Maybe this one, second one comes around and start to get used to it. You may be thrown off because it's a different artist, but once you get past that second trade, it's all downhill from there.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm glad that we both seem to have experienced like the complete opposite sides of Robert Kirkman for the first time in 2010.
Well, I read Invincible a while ago and got up to like issue 50 and told you about it.
Well, no, I know that.
A couple years ago.
That. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying specifically in 2010 that you experienced the Walking Dead side of him for the first time, and I experienced the Invincible part of him for the first time. Because, I mean, like, all the fun that you said Invincible is, it is that and more, man. I mean, like, this is one of the most intriguing and intricate superhero universes that I've experienced in years. Like, I mean, this is a, like, opening up my eyes to superhero comics. Like, it's like all the boring, dull stuff that I had been experiencing is just like out the window now, thanks to Robert Kirkman and Invincible. It's some of the characters are analogs, but it doesn't freaking matter because they all have different personalities than what you're used to seeing. I mean, Immortal is like a cross between, I guess, Shazam and Superman. Omni-Man would be the Superman of that universe. I mean, the Justice League of that universe. I'm not going to give away spoilers or anything for Invincible for people that haven't read it, but let's just say they aren't exactly that important in the scheme of the series. But in a way, they are. And it's just the art and the story and everything just flows so well, man. I've read 31 issues or 32 issues at this point, and I cannot wait to read more. It's just it's great. What else can I say, really? I mean, like, there's one of my favorite scenes is like way later on in the book, and I'm not going to say why he's doing it, but Invincible's going through a bunch of alternate realities, and one of them actually leads into I don't know if anybody read the Marvel team up where with Invincible and Spider-Man. But I've now read the issue that leads into that, which is great because, like, literally he's flipping through alternate realities and just happens to literally, like, bang into Dr. Octopus as he's flipping through universes, and that's how he has his team up with Spider-Man. But in the course of that issue, after he's done with Spider-Man and everything, he winds up in you just see him from the back, but he's talking to Batman, and he's like, well, look, I already had this conversation with one person today, but, like, what's the deal with the bat imagery? I mean, like, does that makes absolutely no sense. it's like why do you gotta go and, like, make yourself like a Batman to be all intimidating? It's like, doesn't work for me, dude. Sorry. And then he just, like, keeps on moving. It's fun, it's exciting, it's Invincible, I love it. Moving on. All right. Brandon.
All right. This may sound like a cop-out answer, but only because the stuff I picked up in trade this year hasn't come out in, like, the last 10 years. Like, I picked up a lot of old Batman issues from like I want to say like early 2000s, so I guess that really wouldn't count. Mm-hmm. Only thing recent I picked up, which may have come out in the last couple of years, was the Omnibus, actually. And this may sound like a little bit of pandering, but it's not, though, honestly. To actually the Unique Omnibus, Season 1.
It's not pandering.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. And, you know, I'm not saying this because, you know, Comfort and Adam are our friends, but actually I sat down and I read the whole thing in one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, between the artwork and the actual story, this just drew me in completely. And I really read it. Like, I read it, I think I started reading it at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And by the time I was done, it was nighttime, and I didn't even notice it. And it was just straight through. Hmm. And it just sucked me in. And now I just can't wait till the next Omnibus comes out either next year or the year after that.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, for one thing, because I've read all of it and I love it. But it's another one of those instances where, you know, it's a very intricate superhero universe, and
yeah,
with a new spin on it that you haven't necessarily seen in Marvel and DC before.
Exactly, and the fact that, you know, it seems like it may take place in quote unquote real time. So by the time season two rolls around, it may be a year later, or it may be 3 or 4 years later by that time. It seems like these characters are actually going to grow and change with us, as opposed to staying static for the rest of their whole entire lives.
Yes, but not Static Shock.
Superhero Static Shock, though.
Chad.
Well, I'm going to have to agree with Brent. For my birthday, my girlfriend got me the first three trades of Walking Dead, and after I plowed through those, and then when I was at Wild Pig for the fall sale, I bought 4 through 9 and plowed through those, and I'm waiting for April to come around and go back and get the rest.
Nice. Well, trust me, I know exactly where you are, man. Because
but Walking Dead was like, you know, I heard everybody talk about it. I was like, oh, you know, sounds interesting. I like zombies, and it's like, but I'd always forget about it, or oh, it's, you know, too far in. I'll never catch up, and then. When I got the trades, I was like, ooh, time to jump in.
As a throwaway gag in that alternate reality thing I was mentioning, by the way, one of the other universes he jumps into for like 3 or 4 seconds is actually the Walking Dead universe. He just sees the zombies, and then, like, the next scene is him like around the campfire with all the characters trying to like explain shit. But all right, I'll give Walking Dead another shot. I'll see if I can get through it.
Do it.
I mean, sometimes you just got to be in the right mood for something. And maybe now that I've seen the series, I'll do it. All right, God damn it.
It's a 5-step process.
Drop Outsiders.
I will, if you read Walking Dead.
No. We are not tying that to that. Drop Outsiders.
Seriously, do yourself a favor and just drop the damn book, please.
Yeah, please. All right, let's tie 8 to 9 here, Chad. Glad I waited until Blank was collected to read it.
Okay, I'm going to have to say Scott Pilgrim.
Mm.
I honestly, when I saw the movie, I had no clue what I was going to see. And again, Mike gave me all 6 volumes, and I just kind of also plowed through those and going, oh, this is kind of, you know, interesting, and I'm, you know, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, no, Scott Pilgrim is I mean, for me, it gels perfectly with like my youth and now, because, you know, I was a video game kid growing up, and I'm an anime guy, and everything about Scott Pilgrim gels with me. But I'm glad to see it works for you, because I know opinion has been split in the comic book world on Scott Pilgrim, depending on how people grew up and no offense to you, Chad, but how old people are. I'm not saying that age wise. I'm not saying that you're old. I'm just saying you're older than us. That's what I'm saying.
I got all the all the video game references and all that. It's like, oh yeah, I remember, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just it. Even people who might have gotten that for some reason couldn't get into it. And
sure, they could have thrown some Atari references in there, but you know.
Yeah, but you know what? Whatever. It's still video games. Video games are easy to get.
I had Nintendo, original Nintendo.
So did I. Yeah,
my brother's 45 years old, and he enjoys Scott Pilgrim.
Wow, you have a 45 year old brother?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Uh huh. See,
that is a large age difference.
Well, I shouldn't. Oh, sorry, 16 years apart. So it's actually 43 going on 44 still.
All right, okay, but yeah. And I wasn't calling you old, Chad. I promise.
Only 32.
Yes, I know you're not. And that's barely a difference. I mean, come on.
Just because I like Matlock in Murder, She Wrote, okay?
Wow, Chad, you're 20 years older than me. That's impressive.
I'm going to go cry now.
All right, Brandon, please tell him the truth so that he doesn't go cry.
So I'm actually 26. You're only 6 years older than me.
Brandon is the same age that I am, and sadly that Wrath is, even though he acts four.
yet older than Brent.
Yes. Yes, Brent is the youngest man on this call. Even though he's the one that's married, so he's technically older than all of us.
By association.
Yeah. I would say Scott Pilgrim. In fact, I kind of want to say Scott Pilgrim, but I'm torn here because I've got two choices. I can either go with Scott Pilgrim, or I can go with, even though it's not technically all collected yet, and I haven't finished it yet, I'm loving 20th Century Boys. And I started it this year, and you know technically they are collections because they're manga, but screw it, I'm going Scott Pilgrim. I waited somewhat purposefully to about like 2 weeks until before the movie came out to read all of Scott Pilgrim, and I actually, I mean yes, I'm willing to admit this, I wound up having to download the last volume because Chris hadn't gotten her copy yet from DCBS. So we were waiting for that to show up while like literally the day before the movie came out so that we could read the volume before the movie. And it was totally worth reading ahead of time because, I mean, yeah, the movie still would have worked for me if I hadn't read it, but it felt like I knew the universe so much better, and I fell in love with the book. It's fun, it's relatable. And it's very easy to even take out in your head the video game stuff and still feel like you're getting an intricate story. You know, like you, a lot of us have been down that road before about, you know, chasing the girl and having to deal with the exes, you know, whether
all
or not.
All seven of them.
Yeah, all seven. All the League of Evil exes and everything. But everybody's got a League of Evil exes, whether you have to fight them to the death or whether or not you got to, you know, socialize with them or whatever. That's something that you got to go down. So I related ever so slightly to it and really, really like Scott Pilgrim. So that is my pick. And Brent, you're up.
I should have said Walking Dead, but I'll go with 100 Bullets.
Woo!
Nice. I haven't finished it yet. I'm on to finished volume 10, so I got three more. But I think I read the majority of those this year, and I'm really happy I did because it's fantastic.
Cool.
That's on my docket for this year because my older brother gave me all his issues, so that's in my 2011 pile.
That's another one that you got to kind of read trade after trade after trade, I thought.
All right. Good.
I mean, the first one is good, but some trades, it's like self-contained stories, which are good enough for themselves, but the really overarching plot, I don't think, kicks in until volume 5 or 6.
100 Bullets is just mostly a crime story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Cool. I'll give it a go.
Wait, did he also do DMZ as well or no?
No.
That's Brian Wood.
Yeah, that's Brian Wood.
Wood.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see who's next on here. Who hasn't gone yet? Everybody go. Did everybody go? Oh, Brandon.
Really? Really? You're going to ignore the black guy. I see how it is.
Yeah. It's because you just blend into the background.
I know, really. Yeah. Especially on cyberspace, even more. I
Step out
say,
of your car, sir.
What?
Step out of your car, sir.
I didn't do nothing. I was going
up against the wall.
What? Whoa, don't hit me.
Are you talking about me? Don't make me pull out my billy club.
Who the hell carries a billy club now?
Cops do still.
Oh, God. All right.
Well, he wasn't talking about that billy club.
Retractable nightsticks.
And they
whip him out and it goes.
He wasn't talking about that retractable
it's
nightstick.
A big metal rod.
So, Brandon,
I want to say Superman Earth 1.
Hmm. So you're the one. You're the one who's gonna fucking pick that book, huh? All right.
Yeah,
it never came out in singles.
I'm so glad it was not in singles because
I thought about picking that for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but I don't think I would enjoy it as much if it came out in like, you know, like five or six issues.
Well, yeah, because it would have taken 6 years.
No, he would have quit halfway through.
and then he would have handed it off to his aunt.
Oh, God. Well, he would have given his notes to someone else. Oh, God.
Well, so you liked it even though Dexter's sister played Lois?
Yeah, since I don't watch Dexter, so I didn't get that.
All right.
But I did enjoy the story, how it played out. It's a little bit different. It seems like he took a little bit of Smallville, a little bit of, I guess, a little bit of Birthright also, and kind of fused into his own, which is still plagiarism. But I enjoyed the story, though.
They're right. Still better than Superman Returns.
I was just going to say Superman 4 is better, but I can't do that. I just can't do that.
No, Superman 3 is better, actually.
Yeah, all right, that's better. Hey, speaking of Superman and speaking of JMS, I had such high hopes for JMS's Superman.
Second.
Until I actually sat down and read it.
Thirded.
Hey, okay. Superman, what are you doing walking across the country?
No. This was my problem with it. I mean, in the 700 issue, it's like the lady comes up, oh, you couldn't save my husband's cancer because you were doing something else. And he had just gotten through telling Supergirl, you can't save everybody who has cancer. Then he goes all emo, and I'm going to walk across the country.
Even worse than that still. And I mean, in the very same issue that JMS takes over, Superman 700. Oh, I'm so glad to be back with you, Lois. Never leave me again. Sure thing, baby. And then later that issue, I'm going to go walk across the country. I'll see you later, bitch.
But I'll bang you as we go across.
And I'll get caught on the cell phone. Oh.
But yeah, one of the most preachiest and pointless titles that I ever read. I still have three of them sitting there waiting to be read. They're not going to be. It's just
with
not
the fill-in issue with Lois going, oh, I could have been, you know, had a family.
Oh. And a fill-in issue. That's what gets me. A fill-in issue. And yes, I understand that JMS was having issues. I understand that. And you're more than willing to take the time out to get yourself right and whatever. But then he dropped the book like 2 weeks later. So, no. Just no. Don't ever do that again.
No, but I think the best part about the storyline was I think the last issue just came out. And apparently he was in, I think he was by Smallville, and there's this factory, there's this billowing smoke, and I guess no one noticed it before in Smallville because, you know, it's a factory there, you know?
Of course.
And the line was like, you know, he's torn between, you know, either shutting down the factory or saving the town. And Lois goes, what? More ambiguity from you? I'm like, what the heck am I reading here?
I don't know. He lost me with the aliens in Detroit.
But they're making our cars, Chad. Don't you understand?
Know, they're probably
that?
Outgunned, too.
They're also on the Tigers.
Oh, God. Only reason why I stupid.
Oh, but, God.
Yeah, he's trying to be like the hard traveling hero for Superman now. And it just doesn't work because the time's gone now. Just let it go. Let it go.
It's not even like you could say, oh, well, it's a time in our country where people need to be brought together. And it's like, no, not by Superman walking across the country. Okay. All it is creating store events in whatever town he goes to that nobody attends. You know, like, I mean, like, I remember when that one comic shop owner in Cincinnati was pissed that the book was late because, like, oh, we had planned the Superman event for that day. It's like, yeah, well, too freaking bad. Nobody was going to buy the book anyway.
Batman should have taken the kryptonite ring, punched him when they met, and dragged his ass back to Metropolis.
And meanwhile,
you stay there.
Meanwhile, hey, honey, I miss you. Shut up and make me a pie, woman.
A hostess fruit pie?
Yes. And it better damn well be a hostess. But I can't make those from scratch. Do what I say. All right. So Brandon and Chad agree. Brent, do you have a different
pick?
That's
not mine, but yeah.
Night terrors.
Oh, God. It's so cold.
Brent.
Yes.
What is your pick for utter dreck of 2010? So obviously it was a Donald Duck comic. Okay.
Let's see, what indie books did we make me read?
Do you want my original answer?
Go ahead. Say it real quick. JLA? JLA JSA crossover.
No. I know.
Go ahead.
The Rise of Arsenal miniseries.
Oh, God.
I bought the whole thing.
So did I.
And I read the whole thing.
So did I. There's something wrong.
Hi, my name is Chad, and I bought Rise of Arsenal.
My name is Ray, and I bought the Rise of Arsenal also.
Hi, my name is Chad, and I'm still buying Outsiders.
And Doom Patrol.
Wait, did you keep reading thinking, maybe it'll get better? I don't know.
Yes!
Reading it thinking, it's only four issues.
I was reading it like, he has to redeem himself in the end, right? He has to redeem himself in the end. No, he's hugging the cat. Oh, God.
Dream sequence.
I kept thinking, well, maybe if they just keep him tied down in the hospital, he won't do anything. Oh, God, it gets out. It gets worse.
Oh, my God, the fake arm is pussing. Oh, God. Oh, why do they have to show us that? Oh.
Oh, God.
Now I just feel like huddling in the corner.
Hi, Roy. I made you a brand new arm. Oh, thank you, Vic. What's it do? Oh, it turns green and pusses. Oh, thank you. You're the best.
All right. Let's see. Best writer of 2010 had to be blank. Thanks for asking. And the first to go will be Brent. You already said Grant Morrison, so you can't say him.
What?
No, I'm just shitting you.
Actually, yeah, fuck it. I will go with Grant Morrison.
Stole my answer.
Duh.
Are we three out of four here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. That's fine. Well, for obvious reasons, right? I mean,
let me guess, Ian, Peter, David for X-Fact.
JMS for Wonder Woman.
No, and I'm not even going to say Gail Simone, even though I want to. I am going to go with, for my best writer of 2010, I've said his name enough already, so I'm going to say it again, Nick Spencer, yeah.
Not Peter J?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's my best writer of 2010. He's written enough good stuff for me that he's right up there. Actually, tie. I'm gonna change my mind. Tie. Nick Spencer and Matt Fraction.
Because
Invincible Iron Man has been that book that been top of the stack every single time it came out. Like I can't help but read it. It's still fun. I mean, even if Salvador Larroca draws Tony Stark like Sawyer from Lost, I still have to read it.
Just call that your Lost fix.
There you go. Right, exactly. Yeah, because Nick Spencer fills it with Morning Glories, and Iron Man fills it with Sawyer. So, those are my two, Matt Fraction and Nick Spencer.
Ian, I never knew you had a crush on Sawyer so bad.
He's so dreamy.
Is he your man crush?
Oh, God.
Is he your David Tennant?
Is he your Brent, Brandon?
Nice turnaround.
Yes. So the two of you also picked Morrison, right?
Yep. Well, yeah. I think also Brian Q. Miller also.
Ooh.
Because okay. he took an almost unlikable character in some people's eyes and made Stephanie Brown, you know, awesome again.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. Honorable mention of Fabian Nicieza.
For Red Robin?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, good call.
My only problem that I had with Grant Morrison, it was I needed a roadmap to figure out where the return of Bruce Wayne picked up and with Batman and Robin.
Well, okay, you take a left turn at Time Masters. You go down the road until you hit Batman and Robin. Okay, then you hit a right at Batman Incorporated. You double back because you went the wrong way.
But if you hit Final Crisis, you've gone too far.
If you've hit outsiders, you're irrelevant. Just keep on going. I liked Batman the Return too. Like, I mean, it was fun storytelling. It's just, where the hell did that fit in?
The Return was the 6-issue miniseries.
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to not get confused with the Road Home.
Yeah, return of Bruce Wayne. That's all okay. That jazz. Yeah.
The thing was, the Return number 6 hadn't come out, but over in Batman and Robin was when he kind of appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started reading the Road, I read the first issue of I read the Road Home, but he was already doing his, you know, the note taker or whatever.
See, that's why when I saw that Batman and Robin had come out and I saw the internet reaction, I waited until Return of Bruce Wayne came out, and then I read it.
I got halfway, maybe not even halfway through that issue of Batman and Robin, said, I'm waiting till the Road Home finishes, then I'll read that one and figure it out from there.
Good idea. All right, I think we can sort of like zip through these next ones because they're sort of straightforward, especially because there are like two events in Marvel and DC, but I still had this as a question anyway. Blank was an event that delivered what it promised in 2010 for Marvel. Blank did a good job for DC too. I'm going to give my answer here first, and I am going to say the event that I actually thoroughly enjoyed here, and it's not Siege. I like Siege. I really did like Siege. However, Thanos Imperative was an event that delivered what it promised in 2010 for Marvel, which is a satisfying conclusion to Abnett and Lanning's run in the cosmic portion of Marvel. So I'm going to say that as my event for Marvel. For DC, Brightest Day did a good job for DC, too. I mean, that's kind of a given there, but that's my DC response because it's been a year-long thing and it's been, you know, so far so good there. Honorable mention being what's going on in Flash and the lead up to Flashpoint. Chad.
Can we consider Batman Beyond being introduced as an event?
You could do that. That's
I'm fine. Doing that.
Okay.
All right. It was just, I was just finally glad to see them, actually, bringing that character in after introducing it in that series that will not be named, and then finally getting ongoing.
You mean Countdown?
Ah!
It burns!
Bad touch. out of, like, the four Marvel books you read, is there an event?
I don't know if S.H.I.E.L.D. really is an event, but...
Sure, why not? S.H.I.E.L.D. is one hell of an event, I gotta tell you. When it comes out every 2 months, it's like, wow, that was an event right there.
It's an event, I understood it, yeah.
Yeah. It was an event by Jonathan Hickman, the new Alan Moore, according to Rich Johnston and the internet.
But I'm also enjoying The Brightest Day.
We all are.
Yeah,
we wouldn't be reading DC right now if we weren't, because that's what DC is right now. Brightest Day. That's what they do.
Brightest Day Comics.
Just like, you know, Fear Itself will be what Marvel does soon.
Yeah, fear people actually read it.
The only thing we have to fear is more fear itself. Brent.
An event that delivered?
Yeah. Does it exist?
I liked Siege, but honestly, I can't pick one.
It put Osborn in jail.
2010.
Put Osborn in jail.
Yeah, but I don't know. It was so short. And we saw the Sentry stuff coming a mile away. Come on.
I cannot believe that you just put an event down for saying that it was short. Considering how we always bitch on this show about how long things take.
I know. I don't know what I want, bro. I don't know what I want.
Oh, my God. He's going through a midlife crisis and he's younger than all of us.
I don't know. I guess I was just more burned than I looked at the trade and they wanted to charge you $25 for four issues.
Okay, that was fucked up. Yeah.
Anyway... No, honestly, I mean, I don't really feel like there were any events that delivered.
What about the Stark Resilience storyline?
That's not an event. That's a storyline.
Yeah, all right. What about DC? Anything?
And nothing really from DC. I mean, Batman returned, but like I said in the last episode that we released, but we recorded 2 months ago. Oh, whoops! Did I drop that secret?
You did. You did in the description of the episode.
Okay. Anyway, I really was confused by Return of Bruce Wayne, the actual miniseries. So, I really feel like there's nothing in 2010 that stands out as a event that succeeded.
Hmm.
So there you have it.
The Return of Lobo. Brandon.
My Marvel is going to be Second Coming.
Nice.
Yeah, because I thought I saw the build up coming from a while. I read what was the first half of it called? Oh, I'm blanking the name right now.
Divided We. Wait, no.
Divided We Stand.
Mutant. No. What the hell?
That means Genesis.
All right.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, but you know, I read the first half, and I'm like, oh, okay, this, we'll get top that. Then I started reading X-Force, and X-Force was just, I loved X-Force. And then you see the build-up happening in X-Force, and then...
Yeah, wasn't it Divided We Stand?
No, it was something else.
Okay.
Not Mutant Messiah.
Oh,
Messiah right. Complex.
Yeah, Messiah Complex, Messiah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I read all of X-Force, and you see the build-up happening in that, and just comes to a head, and then the whole all-out war starts, and just shit breaks loose, and it's just amazing... watch happen, and two of my favorite characters died. I'm like, oh, I'm sad, but it makes sense though.
Yeah, the Marvel universe is without Cable. It can't watch Food Network.
Jeez,
big pockets are going to go out of, you know, who's gonna buy all the big pocketed belts?
Deadpool, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Have you been reading Deadpool?
I can safely say I officially dropped Deadpool.
All 12 of them?
All 15 of them.
Oh, jeez.
All 22 of them.
Yeah.
All 75 of them.
Oh, God. And my DC event actually would be The Road Home.
Nice.
I love the one-shots. I love the fact that it kind of reminded me of like a fifth-week event a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like all the books took a break and actually just concentrated on one, you know, issue, even though it's all contained in the Bat universe. Yeah, I also like the fact, you know, that Bruce Wayne had this amazing suit which could do everything all the other superheroes could do also.
Right.
Which he never uses.
You know my favorite part of the whole Return of Bruce Wayne thing was?
Mm.
Tim in the corner going, I fucking called it.
Yeah.
Neener, neener.
You all thought I was crazy.
Saw it from a mile away, fools.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say that my only real complaint about The Road Home was if you're going to make a interlocking covers, you know, picture, make sure that's the order that they go in.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Editorial, no work, right? I think we can blame the restructuring at DC for that.
It was a slip, you know. It was a slip. It was a small mistake. Yeah,
just a little bit.
Got through the cracks.
Yep. Brandon, your publisher of the year.
Since I only read one publisher, I guess I had to go to DC by default.
Wow. I think that my publisher of the year... Now, see, this is interesting here because I'm left with two choices actually. It ain't going to be DC because of all the books I dropped at DC this year. Says that I'm not enjoying it as much as I used to. And yeah, other than the Bat Universe and Brightest Day, there really isn't much else. Well, and every book that Gail Simone writes, but that's her own little corner of the world, which is technically part of Brightest Day in a lot of ways, except for Secret Six. It's between Marvel and Image, actually. And I mean, I only read like three Image books, but the three that I read are really good. And that's, you know, Invincible, Chew, and Morning Glories. And Chew and Morning Glories are the only ones that I read when it comes out. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with Marvel here. I guess. I don't want to, but I'm going to. I hate that I'm stuck that way. It's like there are plenty of books coming out of Marvel that I love. Like, I mean, I'm one of the few people that seems to like everything that Hickman's doing on Fantastic Four, so there's that. I like S.H.I.E.L.D., like another Hickman book, big shock there. Iron Man, all the Avengers books that I'm reading. I dropped Academy because it was no longer interesting to me, but New Avengers, Avengers, and Secret Avengers are all doing damn good. So, yeah, why not? Oh, and Cap, of course, because, well, that's a given. That's always good. So, yeah, why not? Marvel, Chad.
Okay, well, despite the fact that they're still publishing Outsiders and Doom Patrol, I'll give it to DC.
It's all right. You can let that go. You can let it slide for now.
They better get canceled this next year.
Drop the books.
Or even though I don't read very much Marvel, Marvel will get it.
they won't get canceled if you keep buying them.
You're the cause, Chad. You really are the cause. I don't know you're the cause of it, but you're the cause of it, though.
Oh, God. Brent.
Pass.
Pass. Wow.
I really
you can't
don't.
Pass.
I can't pick one. Looking back on the year, nothing really stood out. For me, no one had a standout event. You know, the major storyline was the return of Batman, but only because he was turning, not because it was, you know, fucking fantastic or anything like that. You know
my
what
choice
I mean?
Is Oni Press for Scott Pilgrim.
So I'll have to pass on the publisher of the year. A decision cannot be made.
My choice is Dark Horse for Buffy Season 8.
Isn't that done?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that doesn't count.
Yeah. Damn it. All right. Did everybody go? Except for the black guy, right?
Because he's not important.
I'm only three-fifths of a vote here.
Back of the line.
Wait, seriously, though, did you go, Brandon? Because I'm losing track here because it's late.
For publisher of the year? Yes,
yeah.
I did.
All right, you did. That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, you were the first that I chose. Okay. Yeah. When I read the news about blank, 2010 changed for me. I'm going first here. When I read the news about DC switching down to 299 with a 20-page count and the return of letters columns, 2010 changed for me because this seemed to be them putting their foot in the sand saying, we're going to do our best to keep prices low, even if it's going to mean sacrificing two story pages for it. I think that's a little bit of bullshit there for getting rid of the two pages, because I don't think that they cannot afford to write 22-page books for $2.99. But if it's going to keep the books at $2.99, I'll read it. So that's what I think the big story is. Related to that being Marvel saying, we're not really doing that. Go suck it.
Well, because they're Marvel, a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, I know. Jerky poo Disney. Heads. Jerky, jerk, stinky jerks.
Jerk face jerkers.
Yeah. Brent.
Yes.
When you read the news about blank, 2010 changed for you.
Hmm.
There were some good news items this year.
What?
Like Geoff Johns becoming the editorial director?
DC restructuring. Marvel. Joe Quesada saying bye-bye, but that was 2011.
Honestly, I mean, yeah, it was great and all, but I didn't see that it has changed. I'll take another pass.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, I just feel like this year was kind of lackluster. Hmm. I guess that's the problem when you don't have a year and a big event every year.
What about the return of cross-gen?
Until we get to Sojourn, then I'm not...
Wait, will they finish Ruse?
But they're not finishing it. They're just kind of relaunching stuff.
That's exactly what they're doing.
They're not finishing or picking up where they left off or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but no news really kind of stuck out for me.
What about the digital news? I mean a lot of the apps came out this year. You know, I mean this sort of is the beginning of you know, the quote-unquote digital revolution for comics.
Right, and I downloaded the Comixology app for Android, and I downloaded some comics on there, but honestly, I haven't bothered to go and use it.
Yeah.
So, I guess for me, it's kind of like, I just don't put comics news as important, I guess.
All right. Well, so. Well, Chad does. Right, Chad?
Sure. I think I'll agree with the DC and the price point.
Mm-hmm.
Now was the letter columns, was that end of the year or beginning of the year?
That was beginning of the year, but I'm tying it into the $299 price point because that is sort of part of it.
And as that and the the restructuring of DC.
Yeah. Because I mean, they did get rid of Wildstorm.
Yeah. There was a Wildstorm.
I heard Ex Machina came out under Wildstorm for some reason, even though it didn't actually fit the mold. That ended this year, too. And Brennan.
Okay. I'm going to echo what you said about the letters column, because I think that's pretty cool. Heading back to, the quote-unquote glory days of comic reading. Also, I guess, DC moving from New York to L.A., really.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty major,
Well, all the important parts except for publishing.
Well, true. Still, you can tell where they're going to start focusing their goals at now. I guess they're moving from publishing to mainstream media, right. Which is a kind of, I guess you could say epic, but, it really depends on how this movie season goes, actually.
Yeah.
I know we'll get a Dark Knight movie perhaps next year, and we have Green Lantern coming out this year also. If Green Lantern doesn't do as good as I hope it does, this actually could start the end of the comic book movie franchise. Really,
don't you do that, man?
I don't want to say that, but I'm just going to be honest right now because honestly, if Green Lantern tanks this year, that means there'll be less expectation or less hopes for Captain America, which comes out in August, and then it'll just be a downward spiral, unfortunately.
Yeah, and
remember what happened with Blade a couple years ago. Also, you had Blade 1, which is really good, then you had Blade 2, which is really bad, and they're just like, oh, screw that. Then they stopped making movies for a little bit.
Hey, what about X-Men First Class? That's coming. Oh,
isn't that on hold again?
No, it's not actually. In fact, yeah, it's going to be out like as early as like later this year, I think.
Oh, sweet Christmas, really. It comes out in May.
I'm surprised that they haven't like published anything or, any images or anything like that. I think it's a serious misfire to let the trailer be the first view.
I think they're afraid.
Honestly, I'm not that excited about it because of that.
I mean, the only thing that I've seen is one shot of January Jones as Emma Frost. That's it.
But she's not even in the first class.
Yeah, I know.
Well, back to my original point. I guess big news event was actually Dick Grayson staying on as Batman, not going back to his Nightwing.
Mm.
That does show a lot of balls actually for DC, saying they will stand behind Dick Grayson as opposed to a few years ago when they wanted to have him killed.
Yeah, yeah, right. And it's not like Marvel did that with Bucky.
No,
not at all.
Well, I won't you pull that card.
I know, the storylines mirror each other, but they're not the same.
Well, sort of, yeah. I mean. Like, Steve Rogers didn't come back to be Captain America again. Steve Rogers came back to be Steve Rogers again. And actually.
Yeah.
But we knew that, I guess, Bucky wouldn't go back to being
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier again. Yeah. Because it wouldn't feel right because of the progression we have with the character. But, with Dick Grayson, we all knew it. He's going to be Batman for a little bit, and then he's going to go back to being Nightwing, or he's going to get killed. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad, that he actually is going to be staying on as Batman.
I'm glad.
Because Dick Grayson's like one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. And I'm sure Tony Daniels glad because he gets to write a comic still.
Yeah, true.
And draw one.
Yes, and draw one. Because he is the same person on that book.
He is? What was?
Yes. They're not two different people named Tony Daniel.
Whoa, what are the coincidences of that happening, though?
Yeah, it's pretty high.
Yeah.
All right, and last but certainly not least, who would have thought that blank would make 2010 his or her year? And you can either answer this for both character and creator, or one or the other. That's entirely up to you. And first up will be... Yeah, why not? Let's let the black guy go first.
Yay! Free at last! Who would have thought that Chloe Sullivan would have made 2010 her year this year?
Wow.
I'm going to say it. And, I'm happy to see Chloe Sullivan. actually in comic book form, because, you know, she's not dead like in Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
And
thanks, by the way, thanks.
Well,
thanks. Really. Thanks so much. I mean, it's not like I'm in season two or anything. Thanks.
Seriously, you're in season two?
Yeah, dude, I'm way behind.
What the hell?
I barely ever watched Smallville. Whatever, I don't fucking care.
Oh God! Really?
Although I'm sure the people listening to the show that haven't watched it will be really pissed at you.
Send your hate mail to Indigo Fire. I'm joking. No.
Hey, Brent, if you edit the episode, add a bleep.
To what?
Exactly. Okay.
Oh God.
to him saying that. Oh, I'm not going to say it. All right. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
That Chloe Sullivan left Smallville.
Yeah, she left. That's all she did. She left. Okay, so Brandon.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
You can count on me, guys.
Anyway, I'm glad to see. Well, not. I guess you couldn't really say a new character, but a new direction heading to the Superman books. You know, with the fresh take and having Jimmy Olsen paired up with Chloe Sullivan. So, I'm excited about this year.
All right. Onward. As I yawn.
Was it that boring, really?
No. It's just my life. Chad, go ahead.
Dead man. Or alive man. I think he's probably been in more pages in 2010 than he's been in a while.
Maybe his entire career.
No, alive man.
I'm surprised nobody's recorded that yet. Yeah, well, he kind of is the driving force of Brightest Day, what with that ring on his finger.
Eat a cheeseburger. Okay.
Live your life.
I'm totally waiting for the moment, like all the things the white ring is going to tell him to do and not do, like, hurry up in the bathroom. Or
go get laid.
Or stop playing with yourself. You know? that's not a pocket, you know?
You'll put your eye out.
Boston Brand of Earth, wash your hands.
Oh, he's alive. I agree. He was the man of 2010, and hopefully he will be the man in 2011. Well, obviously, I'm going to choose Superman's feet. For 2010, making it there a year, because they did a lot of walking this year. No, fuck that.
Mostly out of people's wallets.
Oh, God. I am going to go creator on this one. Who would have thought that Jonathan Hickman would make 2010 his year?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm saying it. No, well...
How?
Well, because of all the extra press for one that Hickman's been getting out of Marvel... That he's writing Fantastic Four, that he's leading towards this huge event.
Wow, here. he's writing Fantastic Four and leading up to this huge event, but nobody's talking about his book.
What, S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, not S.H.I.E.L.D., Fantastic Four.
But there are plenty of people talking about Fantastic Four.
Where?
All over the place.
They're only talking about it because of the death that's coming. But as far as actual reviews of the issues coming out each and every month or talking about just great it is or anything else, anything that's other than hype, there's nobody talking about that book.
I don't know if I really agree with that.
Nobody.
I've seen plenty of reviews.
Well, I must be missing them on the three sites that I go to all the time. So, because they're definitely not talking about it. I don't see any of the CGS forums about it.
Yeah, they're in the same place that Atlas is.
In your heart?
Yeah, in the background. Yeah, you know, in the background, wow. Underground.
That really makes it hit their year then, huh?
those dead guys.
I don't know. I'm more saying it for S.H.I.E.L.D. than Fantastic Four, but I think it's nice. Let's just say it's nice to see him on some books that are actually getting some acclaim. Okay, maybe Fantastic Four is not getting as big as a deal as I say it is, but I think it kind of is. So be it. And for character, Bruce Wayne, because there really is no other answer. All right,
Aquaman.
Oracle,
yeah. Aquaman, yeah, and you can't say Oracle because Oracle is technically dying.
I haven't read that yet.
I said technically for a reason. You'll find out when you read it.
Still, come on. Really?
Yeah. All right. Brent.
With
Brent,
the whole thing.
Go ahead. No. We're not getting into this conversation now. It's 12:48. Brent, go ahead.
12:49.
Who would have known that? Who would have thought that Brent Cassino would have made 2010 his year?
We're talking comics here, not in life, buddy.
Hey, I'm a comics pundit. Fuck you.
Comics pundit. Please.
All right, Rush.
Come on, give us a real answer.
Who would have thought? Oh, no, that was 2011.
1250.
How about
this? Yeah, you beat me to it.
Who would have thought Azra would have made it past 12 issues?
How about Steve Rogers, dude? It's
getting good again. Actually, yeah. Steve Rogers, good answer. There you go.
Yeah, come on. I mean,
Moon Knight also.
Actually, I think it's been Grant Morrison's year again after Final Crisis.
It has. But every year is
really
Grant Morrison's year.
So my true blue answer will have to be Grant Morrison.
All right, cool.
As much as I hate to say him over and over again, it's really true.
We're going to change the name of this show to the Grant Morrison Cast and talk about nothing but Final Crisis for the rest of the year.
And peyote.
Yeah, and peyote. All right, so that's that. Let's go through the other answers real quick. Chris Murren posted on the forums, if you told me in 2009 I'd be reading and liking a Scott Morse comic in 2010, I would have called you a liar. My life is better since I dropped Booster Gold. I would agree with that because I didn't really like it that much. Thank you, 2010, for giving me Strange Science Fantasy. Best new title around, period. Anybody reading Strange Science Fantasy?
What?
Strange Science Fantasy. It's an indie book, so you never heard of it.
No.
Okay. I looked it up. It is actually it did get pretty damn good reviews. It's back in July, so it was a while ago. That's exactly what the Scott Morse book that he's talking about is. It's Strange Science Fantasy. So okay, we can hear about that some other time, I guess. Madam Xanadu got canceled in 2010, and he hates it, for that matter, and I agree. Did the team of Fialkov and Twazon knock it out of the park in 2010? Now,
what book is that?
This is again, another indie thing here for all of us. Hill is the title that he's talking about. Tumor, my bad. Tumor is what he's talking about, I believe, here. Which is a book out of Archaea Press. It's an original graphic novel. So, yeah, another book came out in July. Go figure. Some of the prettiest pages in 2010 came from Ivan Rice's pencils. I agree. Covered a Lady Mechanica, got me to buy the book. Didn't read it, so I can't really say. Yeah, sorry, Chris. Really, we're not much into the indie stuff here at Comic Timing, and this is sort of going over our heads a little bit here. But if any of the stuff that he talks about that you guys do know about, please mention it. That'd be good. It took me until 2010 to start reading the stuff of Legend in Trade. That I haven't read either, for that matter. Glad I waited until Ex Machina was collected to read it. Except for that last issue, which sucked. I have such high hopes for Why the Last Man until I actually sat down and read it. Oh, my God.
Wow, that's harsh.
Jeez.
Yeah, you can stop reading his post now.
Skip.
Best writer of 2010 had to be Peter David. See, somebody else said it, not me. Nothing was an event that delivered what it promised in 2010 for Marvel. Yeah, I remember Nothing. That came out of Fear Itself, right? Blackest Night did a good job for DC. No slam, I just skipped Marvel events. So there you go. That's the truth behind it. If I had to choose a publisher of the year, the honor goes to IDW. When I read the news about the upcoming Rocketeer comics in 2010, that changed 2010 for me. And I've never read Rocketeer.
Rocketeer.
Maybe I should. I don't know. Have any of you read Rocketeer at all?
Some of the older stuff, like the 40s. Oh, it's glorious.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
For the art or for the story?
But I saw the movie a few years ago.
Yeah, by the guy who was doing the Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, if you can find it online, the old serials of the Rocket Man, which actually is the Rocketeer also.
Okay, cool.
Those are really good.
Awesome. I'll have to give that a go. And last but not least, who would have thought that Jeff Lemire would make 2010 his year? So there you go for those. One more here. Actually, two more. Real Gone. Would have told me in 2009 I'd be reading no DC titles whatsoever in 2010, I would have called you a liar. I'm heading in that direction, man, so I feel you. My life is better since I dropped the DC Universe.
You're all whack.
Oh, wow. That's harsh.
Well, and he said, well, he explains it. It's mostly monetary reasons that he dropped it, and you're excused. Nothing against DC specifically, but none of their books / characters interest me, and I can use the cash. Thank you, 2010, for giving me S.H.I.E.L.D., best new title around, period. Agree. Good stuff. Marvel Cosmic essentially got canceled in 2010, and yeah, pretty close to it, because there are no more after the miniseries that's coming out soon. Not really going to be too many Marvel Cosmic books, and Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy seem to have ended unceremoniously. Did the team of Gabriel Ba and Fabio Moon knock it out of the park in 2010? What do you mean, darn? What?
Nothing.
What do you mean, darn?
Continue. Darn.
Yeah, darn. Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba knocked it out of the park in 2010. Which I agree with as well. I really like the mini comic I got from them at a New York Comic Con. Some of the prettiest pages in 2010 came from Dustin Weaver's pencils. That's a name I'm not too familiar with. Dustin Weaver.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. See, I don't actually look at the credits for S.H.I.E.L.D. That's my problem. Covered in nearly anything drawn by Scotty Young got me to buy the book. Agreed. Very kinetic. It took me until 2010 to start reading The Unwritten in trade. What is wrong with me? Glad I waited until Scott Pilgrim.
It only came out in 2010.
No, it started in 2009.
Oh, well. Yeah. First trade only came out until 2010.
Yeah. So he didn't start it in 2009, like some people did, like me. I had such high hopes for Jeff Parker's Thunderbolts until I actually sat down and read it. I don't agree with that. I like it a lot.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I agree with your face. Best writer of 2010.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. Best writer of 2010 had to be Jonathan Hickman. Thanks for asking. The Thanos Imperative was an event that delivered what it promised in 2010, so somebody who agrees with me. And the Vertigo line did a good job for DC, too. All right, that works.
Because they're still around.
Yes, and Wildstorm isn't. If I had to choose the publisher of the year, honor goes to Marvel. When I read the news about Casanova returning via Icon, 2010 changed for me. I still have my first two Casanova issues sitting ready to be read. But my favorite answer by Real Gone, who would have thought that Leonardo da Vinci would make 2010 his year?
And his code.
Yes, not that one. We're talking S.H.I.E.L.D. here, Chad.
I know.
But just
I read S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's good. Let me go through Chris's answers real quick, because she sent them via email here. Answer to number one would be Brightest Day. I mean, the fact that I'm reading any DC books at all is amazing. So Brightest Day. Every single ancillary Avengers book she dropped, and you better watch yourself, adjectiveless Avengers. The answer is Morning Glories, because I didn't add any other new
titles. I love
the
smarminess in here.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Cause, seriously.
Well, because this is Chris to a T. 4 and 5, she passed, because she didn't have any answers. 6, is the answer Gene Ha? The answer is always Gene Ha, right?
He didn't do anything.
I know, but she's referencing when Triumph the Insult Comic Dog was at San Diego Comic-Con. And he's sitting there in the audience for the Eisners and going, who is your pick for favorite artist? My pick is Gene Ha. For number 7, which would be the cover got me to buy the book, would be Air. So that's cool. Invincible is the answer to number 8. Starting to read, because we both did this year. Number 9 is also Invincible. Blackest Night Flash is the I had high hopes for, and until she actually sat down and read it, because of the absolute destruction of Boomer in that, and it fucking sucked. Ed Brubaker.
You got the original back. What do you want?
Who cares about the original? Who cares about it? Really, I do not give
I'm
a whiny, shit.
I'm whiny. I'm young. I'll throw a boomerang. I'm emo. Sorry.
He was only written that way by Jeff Johns. Seriously, every other appearance he made, he wasn't actually like that. Let's see. What?
Swear to me. You're on number 12.
Actually, I'm on number 11. Ed Brubaker, because he's not Johns, Morrison, or Bendis.
Wow, jeez, Cassidy.
Yeah. Let's see here. I refuse to answer this on the basis that it is dumb because there aren't that many events to choose from.
Thank you.
Hey, I said it when I said it. If I had to choose publisher of the year, the honor goes to Image. Because if you look outside the Diamond sales charts, people are clearly not reading Marvel or DC. And yeah, that is true. If you look at the Amazon charts, everything is not Marvel or DC. It's all Image or IDW. Most of it's Walking Dead. Maybe the $3.99 price point is the news of the year because shit, why am I still reading comics? And who would have thought that Aries would make this his year? That guy has a future. Oh wait.
Technically, he's in Secret Avengers and Siege number one.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's got a good hit. He had a good hit on his shoulders.
Yeah, he really did. And
he was ahead of the crowd.
Yeah, he's going hanging out. He's hanging out at the beach right now. Over.
All right, let's see if we can finish this before 1 o'clock.
And Spider-Avengers. Here we go.
2009. If you're reading the Fantastic Four in 2009, would have called you a liar. My life is better since you dropped most of DC's books. Thank you, 2010. If you give me Secret Avengers, best new title around period. Miss Marvel got canceled in 2010. Did teammate Brubaker Epting knock it out of the park, or did the teammate Brubaker Epting knock it out of the park?
Some of the prettiest pages in 2010 came from Marcus Martin's pencils. The cover in blank got me to buy the book, so he didn't have one. It took me until 2010 to start reading By the Last Minute Trade. What is wrong with me? Glad I read Scott Pilgrim. Glad I waited until Scott Pilgrim was collected to trade the reading. We can actually hear what you're saying, just so you know.
The Mets delivery got promised for 2010. Blackest Night did a good job, too, even though it ended in 2009. Technically, one issue. Come on, dude. If I had to choose publisher of the year, it goes to Marvel. I would have read the Joss Whedon Wade directing Avengers. Big whoop, fuck him. And who would have Steve Rogers make 2010 his or her year?
Time. Barely, oh, you just missed
1 a.m.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for the ones that you couldn't understand because he was rushing through them, I had such high hopes for Batman Odyssey until I actually sat down and read it. I agree with
that one.
I couldn't.
You just messed me up with 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Well, Last Man in Trade took me 2010 to read it, and glad he waited till Reed Scott Pilgrim was collected.
All right.
Which technically aren't they always collections?
Well, yeah. We're done, and we're looking forward to 2011 here. And once again, we are sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service. Use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off of your first order with DCBS. Flashpoint Kid Flash Lost, starring Bart Allen, number one, written by Sterling Gates, art by Oliver Gnome. 50% off this month for $1.49 as Flashpoint begins at DC. Ghost Rider, number 0.1, 50% off for $1.49 as the new Ghost Rider series begins, written by Rob Williams, art by Matthew Clark. Kirby Genesis number 1 is the indie pick, and yet again, written by Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross, art by Jackson Herbert and Alex Ross. So I think he's going to be doing the painting on this, which is pretty cool. And 75% off for only 99 cents here. Regular price of $3.99. Some of the other big discounts this month. S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1, volume 2 is 99 cents, 75% off. And all the Flashpoint titles are discounted anywhere between 40 and 50% this month. And American Vampire Survival, the Fittest number 1, is 50% off for $1.49. And you're going to find plenty of other great stuff just by heading to DCBS's site, dcbservice.com. You know you're going to love it, and we thank them for their support of Comic Timing. So before we go, real quick, what are you looking forward to most in 2011? Brandon?
Cheaper books and letters pages.
Yay. I'm looking forward to the resolution of Brightest Day. I want to see where this thing is going. Chad?
Currently, bed. Awesome.
DC's putting Flash that out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The DO's writing it.
Oh, don't joke. Don't joke.
Outsiders issues.
If the DO wrote bed, it would be very lumpy.
I'm going to have to say Flashpoint.
Cool. That works. And Brent?
Thor movie.
Yes. That looks epic. And a half. All right, I think we're done here. So, Brandon, you don't have a podcast anymore, so you have nothing to promote. Chad, do you have anything to promote?
No.
Because your podcast is dead, right?
Yeah, well, Mike's been has gotten busy with a change in job, and I'm busy too. So,
all right. Do you have any URL for that anywhere, or should I not bother?
No.
Okay. And Brent, any BK's bullets? No, of course not. Okay. So I think we're done here. Unless there are.
How about the Geek Speak though?
Goodbye.
How about that Geek Speak? Yeah.
How about that bedtime? Nice, comfy, warm bed.
All right, well, we're done. So the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums at thecomicforums.com. Gracie, host by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and the League of Cover Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. Greatly appreciated. And Chad, thanks for staying up for us.
I have to be up at 6 o'clock, so.
Well, that sucks. Brandon, thanks for staying up for us. You don't have work tomorrow. You suck.
I'm off tomorrow. Yeah, baby.
Brent, go to bed.
Aye, aye, Captain.
And good talking to you for the first time in months.
You're welcome.
And as always... Wait, what was that?
And also, congratulations, Brent, also.
Thank you.
Lady, congratulations, at least.
Yes. And as always, there's always time for comics... Well, my favorite thing about it is that I just got an iPod Touch. So I finally had the device that when you pause it or have to switch to something else, it remembers where you were. So for a 4-hour recording, I don't have to seek whenever I want to get back to where I was.
You had to do that before?
That's what, yeah, with the Zen Vision M, yeah. Yeah, no.
The iPod's been doing that forever.
Yeah,
I know. Well, that's why creative never succeeded in life.
21st century, meet Ian. Ian, be 21st century.
And they did that on songs, too. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's madness. Right. And lower yourself just a little bit. You're slightly high. You're not too bad, but and I'm not calling you attractive, by the way, like Brandon does. I'm just saying it might be.
Shut up, dirty mouth.
Brandon, you still can't go over. Well, I'm taken now, Brandon. I'm sorry.
I'm beside myself.
Your mic is so much better now, Brandon, by the way.
Yeah, I got a real mic now, a professional mic.
I know, I can tell because I can hear you.
Ha, you're funny.
All right, okay. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to and of course, I choke on my words. And I'm going to do that. All right, here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Brent, your background noise is like hella loud.
Are you in the laundromat, dear Brent?
No.
Fold towels?
No.
Don't forget fluff and fold, fluff and fold.
What are you hearing?
I don't know. We were hearing like a lot of background noise.
A dryer, you're driving someplace, I don't know.
Yeah, it sounded like...
Oh, this the fan from my laptop.
Oh, well, that's what we were hearing.
Jeez. Is it cool?
No, I don't know what the hell's going on.
What is happening to my world?
It just spins a lot in general for now for some reason.
Yeah. Well, you should take it off the spin cycle. Switch it over to rinse. Put a dryer sheet in there.
Was it like that the whole episode?
No. Just like the last, like, 3 minutes. It's fine now.
Well, I moved the mic away.
Well, there you go. And everything's better now. You should let Niesman know that you're reading his lover's book.
I'm kind of lost on that reference there. So.
He absolutely adores Greg Rucka and everything he stands for.
It's unrequited.
That's not Rucka.
What?
100
oh, oh, my bad. Sorry.
It's Azzarello.
It's Azzarello. I'm sorry. My bad. No, I confuse in my head for some fucking reason Ruckus.
Fail.
Yeah, Ruckus stuff with that. I'm just going to ignore that entirely. Oh, my God. Wow. I just lost every bit of cred that I have ever had in my life.
Really? You don't know Azzarello from Ruckus? Jeez.
Yeah,
I'm hurt.
Wow, it's awful. Well, that's also because I've barely ever read any Azzarello in my life, so that's also a problem.
Joker hardcover, really? Joker hardcover?
Yeah.
City of Crime?
Luthor hardcover. Luthor.
Yeah, yes, it was also
good, too.
I mean, it is one of the preachiest, piss poor. Somebody just hung up. Who hung up?
Looks like Brent.
Brent? Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that I'm hosting the call. Yeah, I think it's trying to do its, like, relocating thing right now.
I hate New Skype. I hate New Skype.
Yeah.
Hello, Brent.
You back?
Yes. Was it just me?
Yeah, yeah. It's just you.
It was the mention of JMS writing Superman.
Apparently. That's how piss poor it was.
It's affecting us all. It's on the internet now.
Superman is now walking across the internet.
Wait, is this coming out the week of Martin Luther King?
Maybe.
Yes, then that will be a total tie-in then.
If Brent edits it.
Yeah, right. Well, I am off for MLK, so maybe that'll actually lead to something. We shall see.
Like that made anything happen over Christmas.
Bite me. All right.
Wait, they'll be at this tomorrow.
Yeah, right. So, Brandon, back to you.